Like to just welcome all of you. It's nice to see the interest and to have everyone present, our full board and other ranch members. So welcome. Welcome to our meeting. We'll start with some official business as soon as we get connected. But I guess we could have the roll call. And our Joe's right-hand gal, secretary for Joe, as secretary.
The secretary.
Will you please note those present on the board here?
Phil Hall, Robert Musco, Jody Akers, Joe Bose, Bob Allen, Leland Gentry, and Art Podolani, all present.
Great. We have an agenda. There are a few more copies up here, and we'll start into that agenda. Here's the agenda copies. As you will notice, we've tried to allot some specific times and specific matters for the agenda as to how to become or to get yourself on the agenda. It's been posted to the website, that information. And by way of review, basically, it's not too difficult, although it took a page or two to put it in words. Basically, we want to organize our board meetings as much as we can by having pre-discussions, if possible, with committees, if necessary. It talks in there about a board member representative meeting with committee or whoever has a question, and the board member decides if that is something that needs to be researched and put together in a little more organized way before it comes to the board. That's our intent, that it be succinct and people have their ideas organized. So we don't want the board meeting to be, in all circumstances, some major brainstorming event. We want the homework to be done beforehand so that we can hear the nuts and bolts of it. And so that's why we would like any board member who has a committee or feels like they want some time on the agenda to submit that to Linda at least a couple of weeks before the meeting. I think according to the HOA kind of guidelines, which I kind of resist a little, but we're supposed to have an agenda published at least 10 days before a board meeting. So that's a little bit of the part of it. So, you know, after the big board meeting, we're all kind of tired of it, and we relax and absorb things for a week, but then start, if you have ideas or meeting with a committee, get those requests in. And then as the secretary, as the president, and on the agenda committee, I think there's just the three of us. And Linda as kind of our secretary on that, because I have her prepare it. We will take your input and prioritize and decide and try to work out time frames so that we have maybe a 2 to 3 hour meeting and not a 4 to 5 or 6 hour meeting. Okay, that's part of it. I think by the time you get to 3 hours, everybody's pretty tired, and I'm not sure how much. It's just like no good comes after midnight. That's what I tell my kids. After 3 hours, I think we've all had it up to here with it. So we want to keep these board meetings in. You know, we need to cover what we need to cover, but if we can stay around 2 hours, three max, and not even get into 4 and 5 and 6 hour meetings, that's, I think, a reasonable goal. Are we finally connected?
You're up. Time's up. Don't remember. You're 5 minutes.
Well, I haven't started to meet. I've been waiting for this thing to get going here.
Secretary's keep an eye on this.
I've been, just shooting the breeze here. Open. Are we not connected?
Not yet.
I think we're going to have to start without the connection then, unfortunately. We'll give you like one more minute here, and then I think we're, you keep trying, but we'll, if we can't get connected, we can't get connected. We just need to have our board meeting. Well, it's being recorded, so. Okay, so the meeting is being recorded, so although we can't go live with other people, that might be another point anyway. This is a board meeting for the board. Members are here. Welcome here. You can observe. But this isn't a just shout out your idea kind of meeting if you're not on the board, okay? So I don't want to squelch anybody. If you really feel like you're going to wet your pants, if you don't say something, raise your hand and we'll consider hearing you. But basically these are board discussions of the board. This is a board meeting, kind of like a city council meeting. There's protocol and all of that. So on behalf of the Deer Springs Board, I now open this meeting and would like to, as a first business, to approve of our minutes from our last board meeting. You were emailed this, and you had a moment here while I stalled to look it over. Yes?
We sent out the minutes, and Jody came back and said she thought after listening to the audio there were a few things that we could define a little bit better. And if you look at the new minutes that I have for you, number two minutes, a little paragraph stating that the minutes from the 2013 annual meeting will be available, but on the new agenda or new minutes, if everyone has read them, we could possibly vote on them today and have them posted by advance. That was one correction that she thought.
New minutes, which
the
minutes?
The minutes that were corrected.
So we got a copy of?
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys got a copy of that. So
yeah.
That was one change. If you look at number seven, where it says budget, there's a section where it says about porta potties. And porta potties have been donated for use at the ranch for this year. That was an addition, a change to what you originally had received. Number eight, litigation going on with the Forest Department and the county. It's added on these new ones. Number 10, reservations and web development. In order for cabins 9 and 10 to be listed with the tourism board, they must be in total compliance. And it was also added, all cabins should be in compliance with current codes for non-members as well. And those were the changes asked by Jody.
After having listened to the recording.
After having listened to that, and those changes I made on there.
I recognize those things.
Okay. And the other thing is, I've done a different format, as you can see, on the front. So it's a table indicating every board member's name, position, responsibility, not just as president or vice president, but also the areas at the ranch that you're responsible for, when your term is up, if you are present or absent, and the T in parentheses would indicate teleconferencing. So at a glance, the board should know who's there and what's going on. So this is a new format that I introduced. If this is acceptable to the board, I'll keep doing it in this manner.
Any other discussion, members, on the format or the... I like that too. I think that's very helpful.
And the other thing is, I'm sorry, I forgot. It does mention, like on number three, President's Message, see attached addendum. I have attached the addendum to what was presented at the board. Unfortunately, scanning it and emailing it made it like it was pygmy style. It was very small, so I couldn't do that, so I went ahead and did that. If you look at number 6 point, Phil Hall for introducing new procedures. On ranch emergencies and the ranch manager, I've included that as number 6 point in the minutes. So you all have the minutes new format and information from the meeting.
Thank you. Let's just maybe, can you just number them 1 and 2 and 3 type of thing? You know, addendum number 1 and addendum number 2.
Okay.
And that way you put it back there, which is a good title, but put it in the bottom too, and we can number them that way. Thank you.
All right. I will make that change.
Great. All right. Is there any other discussion on the minutes? I would entertain a motion then to accept the minutes as has been explained and presented to us. Do I hear a motion to do so? Jody makes a motion to approve the minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Robert, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Very good. The minutes have been approved from our last meeting.
Is that unanimous?
Is that March then?
Yes, it's unanimous.
Now, Lena? Okay. Now, as to the matter of, that's our board meeting of last meeting, and of the, now I would like to entertain a motion or discussion on the minutes from the 2013 annual meeting. Is there any discussion that any of you would like to have? Did you all receive that copy that was emailed to all the board? Seeing that there is no discussion, I would entertain a motion to approve those to be presented to the membership for their vote of confirmation at our next annual meeting. We cannot, we discuss that. So do I have a motion to proceed that way, in that way?
I'll second.
Okay. You want to make the, Art,
no,
you make the motion?
You made the motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion. Art seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
So that means we are able to give the
have that posted.
Posted in advance and posted on the website.
Uh-huh. And then copies or whatever we need to do at the next at this annual meeting this next year. All right. We will move on to our next ranch report by Paul Brayton.
No,
oh, did I skip over financial? Where did
no, that's 4.
I'm sorry.
That's
right. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Okay. Okay. You're on.
So, October? It's kind of the month to shut down cabins. And at the beginning of the month, well, the whole month, we've been kind of nice weather. I kind of hesitated to shut them down, but disconnected all the water lines up in the upper cabins, drained the water system, kind of did a little service on the lower spring tank, got in there, took the pump off, dumped it upside down. And something we did last year, and it worked out pretty good, is we didn't disconnect the pump and take it down to headquarters. We kind of just left it in the tank, and with the temperature, nothing freezes in there, so it kind of worked out pretty good.
It's right here.
The weather, you know, if we had some members that were interested in renting cabins, the weather was pretty nice to
right here
for most of the month to rent the cabin. I don't know if in the future we want to leave some things open. It's just kind of that weird time of year where, you know, over the weekend, the next week could be different. But this is the time of year where we shut things down. We have everything shut down so far. The upper cabins, 6, 9, and 10, and the garden cabin, and the comfort stop. Everything's winterized, ready to go for winter. Like I said, the water system up in the upper system, we kind of did a little maintenance up there, and the lower system is still operational. We leave it operational through the winter time, but the tank, I bought some brooms and some sweepings and some bleach to kind of get in there, and there's some sludge that happens about every 5 years, kind of builds up, and so the plan for This next one is to get in there and kind of squeegee it out and kind of clean it up. Just and that's just a normal maintenance thing. I've talked with Mark Fisher with the Water Conservancy for Kane County, and he, they pay a crew to come in every 5 years to do the same thing. But, the vault, I don't know how they built that vault, but dirt and sediment's kind of built up over the pipe and over the PRV.
Right.
My plan is to dig that out. And there's a filter system that I put on that when I installed that originally. And I don't know, we may need to buy a new filter. It's just a $10 deal. When I go through that, that filter system to change it out. Brock Hogan, I finished the last little section going up Meadow Canyon to Broad Hollow. There's another section above Broad Hollow going up. There's a field right below Brent Fulmer's house cabin there. And it's all rabbit brush. There's no grass like there is other places. So I've talked with Leland, and I asked him if he could look into a chemical that we could spray. So next year, my plan is to brush off that and try this spray, this chemical that he's talking about, and see kind of what happens. If we can kill the sagebrush and the rabbit brush, maybe we can go through there and drill some kind of seed in that area over there. But, Meadow Canyon up the Broad Hollow looks pretty nice. I did some brush hogging around the ponds and up in the above the pond, up in the meadow area a little bit. This year I'd like to do a little bit more, and also some spraying. There's a lot of thistle and stuff that's coming up. Nothing that's on the county's noxious list, but, it can be a problem if we let it go. Equipment maintenance, I sent a list of some vehicles and some equipment to Joe. I think you got it. This is that time of year I kind of like to just go through all the equipment and make sure we're up to date on oil changes and service. I just did a service on the generator. I like to do it every 200 hours. I think I got about 250 hours on the old service. But all the equipment is up to date, except for the Kubota, which I just brought down, and I'm going to change the oil. I have a little hydraulic problem. But, I don't know. I mean, this is just that time of year where we try and round everything up, do a lot of maintenance, try and, get it all up to snuff. I don't know. We've been cutting firewood, trying to get ready for winter. We've got a nice little stockpile of wood, and that section up above Broad Hollow, where we've been asked to clear that, that's going to be my next project here, starting next week, trying to get that finished. But the area I'm talking about, where the wood chipper is sitting, there's a pile of stuff. They asked that we cleared those trees so that when we do get moisture on the road, that section right there is horrible, and the sun doesn't shine on there. It's shaded, and so it doesn't have a chance to dry.
So you're going to clear trees in which way? Or
just what? On the left side
of the road.
Left side? So the sun will
work? Yeah. And I don't, there's so much clay there. I think we put some rock on it, and it just kind of disappeared. And I think, they just agreed we'll just clear those trees. So that's one of the projects that we'll be working on here this next month, trying to get it done.
Do you do firewood just for ranch headquarters now, or is it part of your firewood for the cabin space?
It's for everybody, yeah. We have quite a... last year we did really good. We cut enough firewood for us and whoever stayed in the cabins. We kind of had a surplus afterwards, but we didn't. But this year, with the weather being so nice, we just kept cutting. So we have quite a bit of wood for everybody to go through the winter. And
in the spring, people come in too, up in the upper cabin especially in the spring.
I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but every year after Halloween, our family does a harvest party. And It's something, we don't celebrate Halloween, so we invite everybody to come out to the ranch. It was on Facebook, and it was on, we kind of invited the ranch, everybody we know, to come out to the ranch and celebrate this meal with us. And last night, I don't know, there was 40, 50 people maybe come out to the ranch. What we do is we just have a, we cook soup. And just kind of feed everybody a big bonfire. And then when it gets dark, we I think there were 60 pounds of candy. We just kind of scatter it all through headquarters and have the kids go and find it with flashlights. I don't know who's in charge of activities. It was Shauna Cox. You know, things like this, I think, really, you know, promote a good time at the ranch. And it's something so, our family does anyways, but...
question, and so that sounds great. Art, were you aware of this?
What's up?
Were you aware?
Yeah.
That you were there.
Yeah.
Then?
Does
okay.
that mean the chickens are going to have brown eggs?
They're going to have colorful eggs. Yeah.
Okay. I guess my advice, you know, we've got kind of duplication of trying to get information out. That's good. We're not going to, I think the Facebook's great, but also we want to get it to Vance and get it on the
yeah.
on the ranch
yeah.
website too, what's happening at
right.
the ranch. And
yeah.
just make sure, that would be my suggestion, that you just have as much in our different areas as
right.
possible.
Right.
Okay.
This is a family activity this time. We're
yeah.
turning it into a ranch activity. So that's why it's moving.
That's kind of what I'm taking it as, is
right.
kind of a tradition
yeah.
starting for a ranch activity.
Yeah.
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 yeah,
we've done it for 13 years.
I think it sounds great. And
sounds good.
And the last thing I have, this is, I don't know if you guys have been up to the ranch, but all the cows have been moved south down around headquarters and out on the allotment that we call Deer Spring Point. Here this next week, we're going to round them up, do some work on them, branding, tagging, and then a big roundup Thursday, Friday.
Is that, that's another kind of thing I remember
yeah.
as a new member many years ago
yeah.
about the ranch roundup, and that members loved to participate
yeah.
in that. And,
was it? I swore it was on the. It, maybe it wasn't. But, normally, this newsletter, we put it out there, and it's really up to the hunts when they do it, whether it's
yeah.
this past week, so they don't really know. It all depends on their schedule.
On the weather.
And they don't say, okay. So it's kind of hard to make, unless you're really able
yeah.
to roll with
so the newsletter might not be a great avenue, but the Facebook
yeah.
and the...
Right.
Yeah.
Because
that,
they don't know until
those owners that have horses or whatever, but I'm sure love to participate
yeah.
or help out.
And the last thing I had is, I don't know if Doug has given you numbers for the BLM for the okay. So
and then and I think Joe's going to, or no, Robert's going to talk about the cold road, but
yeah, right.
Okay,
yeah.
great. Any questions from the board to Paul or Nancy? Thank you very much for all your effort. I'm glad the weather's cooperated with you.
You know, the weather's been nice, and we've got a ton of work done this month. The weather being nice.
Super.
Could yes. you give me a date? When do you say that the taverns are officially closed down on the upper?
Normally it's the 15th of October.
Like it's whatever weekend falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what if you decided this year? Is they're all completely closed down?
No, everything's closed. And they're all
and a lot of times, I mean, if the weather's nice and it's projected that the weather's going to continue to be nice, like I'll wait another week.
For the lower cabins.
Well, no, even the upper cabins.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but you look at the bookings and nobody's in, you know, 7 and 8 are still open. It's, you know, it's one of those. We've talked about making the cabins accessible through the winter. But why would you make the cabins open during the winter when it's the two cabins we have open during the winter aren't even booked? So.
But we do have, like, when we leave the cabins open later, there's people that call, and they're able to, we can do that this week,
yeah.
you know, this time. But it's kind of a...
It's a play it on a, as
it's
the weather
a
permits.
It's a sort of thing. So
the upper system's a little different because the whole thing needs to be drained. And,
right.
The lower system can be isolated and pretty easy.
And it freezes earlier.
And you have full house at the week after the 15th down below, correct?
Right.
Yeah. We're about that.
Okay. I want you all to know that I've encouraged the Braithens to start. My goal is through this year, with our input and their input, to create an employee manual or handbook. And so, like, I talked to Paul on the phone about this. I want him to record, just like he's giving us a little report, what we do this month of the year, generally, you know, weather permitting, we do this. We open up the cabins at such and such time. You know, the little thing we went through about what constitutes an emergency. All of those kinds of things, and interaction with law enforcement. Anyway, I've challenged them to put together what they have from their perspective, and then I challenge all of you as you see things, the traditions maybe for activities, that we collect that and that we get this in a kind of a handbook, workbook kind of situation, and then we have that. It would be very valuable to us.
And then when we're 75 and we retire,
then
you can pass it down to the next generation.
That too. Uh-huh. All right, very good. Let's move on to our financial report then.
You have a balance sheet and a budget versus actual that you're trying to do. And you just... So the budget items that we have $28,000
in the bank at this time. So we're good to be in the year. So I believe we're in good shape. I think we need to see as a disaster. Thank you, Linda. As you look this over, are there any questions from the board members as to any items on this that you want to ask Linda when she came up with this?
Linda, what did you say the amount that was?
$28,613.62.
And where do we see that on? Where do we see that figure on? Either of these two.
That statement actually from the. I pulled it off the statement from Utah. This is done a little early, so some of the figures don't exactly match up.
Okay.
So can you pass those all down to the demo here?
Okay. Hang on one second, Linda. These guys didn't get a copy of this. So. So again, I just want to know how to look at this and understand where you just came up with that figure, even though it might not be exact.
Being a non-accountant.
I would suggest that we plan that for an agenda item next month, since we are doing all of our financial stuff, and then I can work that information up for you.
And then you can tell us how to look at this a little better.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, would you note that then, Candy? Great. We'll have that as an agenda item.
Yeah.
Spend a few minutes in bringing us up to speed on the mechanics of accounting reports. So do we have any other questions for Linda at this time? We'll look forward to that, Linda. Thank you.
Did we receive a check from Doug Hunt yet?
No, he is going to send that in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
We talk.
All right.
All right. Then we'll move on to rules and regs. I'm sorry, I switched over from my computer's to a Mac computer, and so this whole month I've been learning how to use this stupid thing, and I'm sorry you couldn't open the thing I sent you until I finally figured out I had options of how to send the document, and I had to put it in Word rather than the way the Mac had it. And so I hurriedly, before I ran off to the state football game that I went to last night, sent out a few more things, and did somebody make some copies of that, or did I think more people got it?
And then I scanned it last night, so I can email it to everybody too.
Okay, so Joe, you printed off a copy.
Well, I gave my copy to Jody.
I gave that to Robert.
And she gave it to Robert, and I got my original. That's all I got, because I didn't get it until yesterday morning.
Okay, I'm going to hand one more down this way. You guys can look at this. We'll look at this. Art and Leland can have that. Joe's here.
We can go with one.
Okay. So this is this is a working document that I'm presenting. And it's my goal that we
discuss, approve, scratch off, add to. In the back, there's still a lot of work to do as far as areas and committees and et cetera. So what I tried to do in this document, and I wish, is there any chance, do they have a copy machine? Is there any chance we can get a few more copies that our other members out here to look at?
How many more copies would you like?
I think five, maybe. Four copies.
Yeah, there's 13 pages, so.
So if everybody could share them, one, two, three, maybe four or five copies. Let me hold up one copy and show. Let's see. No. You have that one?
Sure. I'd like to make a suggestion.
Yeah.
On other HOAs, the board is actually, unless they don't want it, they're given a packet of all the paperwork that you need to have, so that when you guys arrive, like I gave you the minutes and everything, the whole packet's there. So
there's
that
one
would
thing.
All be included.
Okay.
If the secretary can receive that and also get some compensation for paper and ink, I would be willing to put that, or Joe would be willing to put that together. So all we have to do is pass it out. We don't have to run somewhere. So whatever we need to have, you can have the packet and say, I can run a meeting. If that's what you'd like us to do, we can.
I think that's a great way to be better organized. And I'm sorry for the however.
But we're in a learning process.
Yeah.
So
most of the copies, if I made a change, I put a line through it. So look at the very beginning. And it had the reservation fee. And I put a suggested amount. I did this from your input. Some of you sent me input, and some of you couldn't open it at all. And so that's why this is a little bit of an exposure to you of it. And I think we won't be able to finalize I think we can finalize this. My goal would be to have it finalized, I guess, by the email, so that we can send this out with the billing for the dues. And when do we should be sending that out to... Did we send that out to December 1st?
I think that's what it is.
Okay. We may not be ready yet.
Well, we look at it on the email, we can.
We probably could, and if we can, we will.
I have a suggestion on that too.
Yes.
On the very last page, or let me find it, the page where you go into listing committees.
Yes. That's where it needs a lot of work.
That should maybe not be like a permanent file with the rules and regs, but an attachment, addendum, and it can change every year.
Sure. So this is the current year suggested list.
We just send out the new list of committees every year because it's going to change so often.
Yep. These have not been changed for like 4 or 5 years. So there was a lot of redundant things with names of people that passed on or sold or lost or not even with us anymore. So as soon as you get those copies, we'll start down through the list and look at certain things. The initial stuff, I'll tell you this while she's getting that, has a lot to do with cabin reservation and use. Okay, all of the one point whatevers. We have been using the rules and regs to a degree, and yet we're modified to a degree, but the document was never modified. And so what shows up on our ranch website ought to be what's really the way it is. It ought to be current, and so that's the goal here. And so some of these crossed out figures are suggestions in a way to help with the cost of running the cabins and that attitude of you play, you pay kind of thing, a bit along the lines of the Brent Fulmer thing, which, Joe, has Brent talked to you about a committee?
Not yet, no.
Okay, so that hasn't come to any fruition. So so I want you to look at that and give me input on these figures. perhaps not right now, but in an email, or right now if you so choose, the board. I upgraded, you know, the so a lot of things are just mechanical. The phone number, and the next section, well, all of that's in reservations. So reservation fees, there's some slight tweaking, modification, the phone number, stuff like that. The we spell out clearly at the end of that who's responsible for what, and the only thing that was added was a lot of people, if they're locked out, they're taking off the screens and damaging the screens to try to get into the cabinets. Let me have the red, the top copy there.
Give one to.
Okay, and you can have yours back. Yeah.
You didn't get it.
Oh, here's.
I did one.
Oh, yeah, two.
Now I got two. Here's another copy. Here's. Is that your copy?
Robert?
Okay. So I would like to look at 1.15. It says do not remove the screen with the window screens, and I added unless for some emergency. I mean, and perhaps they're locked out, it's midnight, there's no other way to get in, that's all they can do. Okay. If they are damaged, there will be a replacement fee. So it's just putting them on notice. Hey, if you have to do it, you have to do it, but be aware, hey, if you ruin it, you've got to not feel bad if we ask you to pay for it. Okay. Camping, we talked, and the issue of firewood, last time we talked a little bit about this. The firewood is primarily for heating their cabins and not for having a big bonfire. Sometimes Paul felt it was abused that they would have a big bonfire out there and use up all of their firewood. So I added in set 1.17C, their staff responsibility to furnish firewood, I just added for heating cabins. In camping now, look at 2.01. We decided it was in there to... we had this last incident a few months ago of somebody sending somebody up and just camping and blah, blah, blah. So a part of this, Paul, will be we need to have designated spots where you do put these people.
Yeah.
But if they're... whether they're members or non-members, there's usually some associated cleanup or organization or time on the ranch manager's part in the right direction. So I added this at the first sentence. You are, of course, welcome to camp on your own land at any time. That's a given. Common area camping. Common area, that's a duplicate. I just need to say common camping areas can be provided at $10 per night for members, $30 per night for non-members.
The only comment I got on that is we really shouldn't do any camping with RV trailers until we get that septic tank hooked up at the campground at the ranch house, because
they'll end up dumping it somewhere.
They will dump somewhere. I don't think Art wants it all in his yard.
No. So, Paul, is that on your agenda?
It's almost ready to go. We've talked about, you know, the length of trailer and where the tank is currently sitting.
Okay.
Where the fence is.
And we're going to have to go a little further back, I think. Yeah. Somebody's got a long wheel-based truck and a long trailer.
And we've dug it up and found there's no clean out. So we're trying, you know, it's a fiberglass tank, and, you know, we're going to have to do something.
All right, great. So that'll take care of that.
I have a question on that one real quick.
Yep.
Are they supposed to make reservations then through Linda on this?
I think it ought to be in an organized way.
Yeah, we should
way.
Over there.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be they just show up and then ask Nancy. But it should, something should be going through.
If it happens, they'll be able to take care of it. But let's encourage, let's put that there that... I'll add that to it. That
we have people for cabin.
Just for cabin reservations, you should call into them. Okay?
I think that's mandatory, because if there's a heavy rainstorm and the road gets washed out, we need to know who's up there so we can give them help if need be.
Okay.
Well, that's another point to that, like Nancy just said, that if people come in with a group or a family reunion or something like that, and they bring two or three trailers in, we need to know ahead of time, we need to have a policy for that. Of how we're going to handle that, because that has happened, But they don't tell us that they're bringing trailers in. It just happens.
Well, somebody had a good idea, even with the cabins. When you rent a cabin, say, you know, there has been double bookings. It's a free deal, but there has been. But somebody came up with the idea of putting just a little piece of, you know, a little card on the door saying this cabin is reserved for this group for this week. For, and so kind of the same thing on a campsite.
They do that in the national parks.
Right. Yeah. So just kind of a little placard where you put a card saying this spot is reserved. And so we have the receipt to that. And I think collecting that, we can, you know, we could know.
Okay, Linda, can you work on that little receipt business with these guys?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Can you work on that little receipt part?
What I'm asking for is a policy on camping for extra campers, people that come up, bring campers. They need some sort of a written policy on
that. Didn't we do that? Oh, we went to bring it on.
Yeah, it needs to
be. And we had told Brent brought this paper up, and everybody kind of approved of it, that if you come in as members, you come in and you have, say the cabin sleeps 10. And you bring 12 people. If you're in a cabin, it's $1 more per person per day for those people. And if you're if you have people in a trailer, if they're, you know, next to the cabin, then it's also for them, it's $2 a day per person.
Yeah, I can't remember. Is that in here?
You have something in there about the overage fleet in the cabin, but it was more than $1 a day.
About $10 extra per person.
Changing the fees for the camping.
It's just not complete. I think this is an area that we need to spend some time on in Canada.
That would lend itself to this, what we just put in there for camping.
I mean, that covers it. They're camping.
Yeah, if they bring a trailer, whether they have a cabin,
we're going to charge $30 for camping. We shouldn't charge $2 a day more.
No.
Would you like me to make some recommendations on that? That you can work over?
Yes, I think we already have it covered. I think this $1 a day or $2 a day is... it's covered by this, where we ask them for, where is it, $10 per night for members and $30 per night for non-members. So if they bring in a trailer, then extra trailer besides filling up the cabin, then that's what we're asking. If it's a member with his family or his daughter's trailer, I think it ought to be the $10.
You know, the big issue here is, you know, the people who are in the trailer inevitably are going to be used in the cabin as well. You know, water usage, propane usage.
Yeah.
That's
and I think that's that $10 or $10.
It's in section 1.1. It says there will be a charge of $10 per person in your party using the cabin facilities over the regular cabin limit. It doesn't say per day or per week.
I think we could take... Oh, okay. Well, that still needs to be in there if you pack 14 in a 10-man cabin or something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think you should have some discussions, not just leaving it up to the ranch managers. Does the board feel that there are specific areas that could be designated
for camping?
For camping, or is it just...
Okay, then I'll
that's
have...
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, yes. I think it needs a little further...
Who could I get with that we could kind of go over? Because I have a couple of places in mind.
Well, if we're going to do it by email, there's a possibility if you could interject that and you're talking, kind of put something together.
We can put that in a general way, but we won't list in this time the areas. No. But so, let's see. That would be under art and activities, I think.
Okay.
You help. So you guys come up with some.
We've already walked some of the areas.
Yeah. Okay. If you guys will take that and let's have a report. Put that on the agenda, Candy. For next meeting, what our official campsite areas are, and or you need to address can they park by the cabins without mowing over trees or causing erosion or whatever, okay?
In your section 1.1, is that supposed to be $10 per person per night or per week?
Per night.
Section
1.1.
So there's not another meeting until January then, right?
Yeah, but that's okay because we won't have anybody use it that way.
Oh, no, that's just a reservation.
Where is that? 1.1?
One. No, next to two pages.
Oh, so it's 1.10. Okay.
The reservation fee is 75.
I think Black is current. He's proposing this. There will be a charge of $10 per person in your party using the cabin facilities over the regular cabin limits.
I think that's thanks for the week. I don't think you should charge $10.
Written in there for the week.
Okay, so we'll add that in.
The current reservation fee is what?
$50.
$50. See, that's what we're increasing it just to make it right. We're not actually increasing it.
Okay, so that'll be for the week. All right, the next thing I want you to look at is 5.50. 5.05.
This is under fishing and pond
under,
use?
Fishing and pond use, yeah. So I added by way of suggestion from you, no motorized craft are allowed on any ponds. I put down the Red Reservoir as an exception to this rule. That's a big enough body of water if it's full.
Fuller.
Not very deep, though.
Like a trolling motor or for jet skis?
Who's gonna?
I don't think, you know, common sense.
No.
Well, it's a lot deeper than, when there's a lot of water in there, it's a lot deeper than
jet skis in the ponds?
No. We're saying the little fishing ponds, that's just asking for trouble and getting them in and out and or the fish and or people fishing and or people wanting to swim or whatever. That's just the problem, right? But the Red Reservoir is a big reservoir. And I personally took a fishing boat out on there with a trolling motor with my kids when it was really full a number of years ago, and they had a riot. And I think there's enough water there when it's full.
Can we rotate?
But no jet skis.
There are a few issues that if they're not addressed this next year with a little bit of backhoe work, there won't be any more water going into the Red Reservoir.
Okay, well, that's another topic.
Right.
Okay.
But just
can we just note on there for trolling motors only so we don't have bigger engines on that Red Reservoir? Because sometimes it's not common sense.
No motor.
Just anything battery operated troller. You know, I mean, if you can do anything at all.
When you
record
that, Leland, you ought to tell us what that was.
That's a pretty big body of water, really.
For people over 70, they can use a trolling motor.
I'm just concerned about the common
sense. There should be an age limit, yes.
if there's not enough water on it, they put the jet ski on it, is it going to damage it? It doesn't matter.
It's not going to damage it.
Okay.
It's going to damage their jet ski. They're going to suck out more mud.
Able to row.
If it's too low, but they're not going to damage the reservoir.
Where that fence goes, if we have a depth meter, just show how deep that water is so people know.
A depth meter would be good, but I also think we ought to have a boat dock. I'd put that, who's the area, or a place so that they are not just carving a road, cutting across with their four-wheeler and trailer across here or there or anywhere, but there's an actual place for them to enter. So, I don't know whose area that is.
Probably mine.
Say it louder, Leland.
I don't know. If it's
Leland, it's Leland or Art?
It's an activity.
You want to take that?
We got two
Okay, here. Art's going to take that because we've been loading up Leland lately. So
Leland, Joe.
Joe, too, yeah. Okay.
Joe, Leland.
Okay, so let's see.
Where are we at?
Oh, we're still on 5.05, and I think I'm about out of time.
Yep.
How much time did I have here? I had half an hour. Let's see.
So
I got it for another 8 minutes.
Along with the fishing and the, you know, it is, you know, for years, people who are members of the ranch have invited non-members from Kanab and from other areas to go up there and fish. And, you know, I've stopped people. They say they've been coming here for 10, 15 years. And
those fish cost $4 to $5 a piece. I don't think
they know,
the case.
Like, the month that we put them in there. So they know at the end of May, they go up there and fish, and there'll be fish there. Part of, you know, the fishing and trying to keep the fish in there is to keep these out. And so, you know, I really want to push the new stickers next year, you know, the different colored stickers, and, you know, it worked good, the yellow stickers, so I just wanted to throw that out there, because there's a handful of people that come up there, you know, they'll catch 10 or 20 fish and take them home.
Yeah.
Stickers do work, because, really? Like me, for instance, going, if I see people at the ponds, and I don't know
who they are. I don't question them. But if you have that tag, it kind of gives you the right to fish there. And I don't know, we don't know every single member. We know a lot of members. But if they have that tag in their window, they didn't just by chance get that.
All right. So our art and... And you guys have been working on it for next spring, right? The tags. So
that's going to require a lot on that fishing thing. There's other people.
It's hard. It's a hard thing.
You stop one.
Maybe a little bit more signage too. You know, stating signage at the ponds, stating this is for member use only. If you're not a member or you're not accompanied by a member that's here,
you can't fish.
You can't fish.
You know, I'm just saying there's been people that they got permission 10 or 15 years ago.
Yes, I understand.
They've been doing it ever since.
Okay, go to...
Should we put a limit on those fish?
You could. That's another thing.
We should have
a daily limit.
We've been trying to for...
2 or 3 or...
No, 14 years. If you remember back 10 years ago, we tried to do it. We need to do it because the fish are gone by July 5th. Yeah.
Every lake I fish in has got a limit.
Yeah.
Just put a nice friendly sign up there. Hey, leave some fish for...
Okay, you guys come up with a suggestion.
I've seen people with a half a cooler full.
Yeah.
You know, they just load up and eat it all winter.
It's ridiculous.
And this is not...
On our dollar.
Did we have to miss Dr. Telecom twice last year?
This last year, no. But when... Five,
10, 6 years ago, something like that. We were stocking in April and then again in July. Really? Yep. Before you got it. You know, my question on that is with the limit, if there's 8 people in a cabin and we limit it to two fish per person, that's still 16 fish. Maybe we should limit it to 5 fish per cabin, period, regardless of how many people.
It's a no-win situation.
Five fish per cabin.
161 reservations, you know, I think we should do catch and release.
That's encouraged.
Well, I mean, catch and release until the end of the year, maybe.
October 1st.
Yeah. Like they winter over. Those fish winter over.
You know what? They're not going to listen, but some people will.
Yeah. Okay.
And that will, I think that would...
I've had a lot of people come to me and say, hey, is it catch and release? Or can we
Because half the government land now, you can't...
Yeah, let's make a catch and release for so many months and then keep after so many months.
So we can't get the next bit.
You don't want too many fish in there going through.
They'll
float to the top.
No?
Because once it gets colder, they're going to have trouble getting the fish to bite it.
Okay, do you feel I should put... You email me then that stuff, and we'll pass it down.
The fish. Okay.
Okay, let's quickly move ahead. I've got that three or four minutes. We haven't gotten to that yet. We're just going to get to that now.
Where are you? Seven.
So now look at 7.01. We had quite a discussion about this gun thing, and Larry Clarkson gave us some good input many years ago. You can't really regulate if somebody shoots their own firearm on their own land. But I added, you can't shoot it. You know, it says here you can't shoot discharge firearms on or across the association land. And I added, or other members' lots. Okay,
that's good.
So that hails that.
That's almost impossible. Yeah. High powered rifle is going to go
where it wants to.
If they can't have a straight shot into a hill, and they shouldn't be shooting out over nowhere. Okay, now look at 8.01 on the ATV stuff. We're reverting back to whatever Utah law is, and I added the last little sentence. This covers all helmet and age issues. Okay. We don't have to spend our time specifying what the law says. We're not going to repeat the law. But the law of the ATV, you know, the Utah law states all of that pretty clearly.
There's
something you wanted to add to that? Pardon?
Could we add the website address?
Yes, that would be great. Would you do that and send that to me and I'll incorporate that?
Yes, it seems to. I don't think this is a tent, but it says they are not to be ridden except for transportation in the areas of cabins. So, for example, let's say I own a lot out somewhere.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Riding at Deer Springs Road, or maybe I want to ride the road that's from Podunk over to Meadow Canyon or something like that. I think it would maybe be better to say ATVs are to be ridden only on ranch roads and designated trails. something like
that. I think they're saying because around the cabin we have people that like
might say that they should not be ridden around the cabins or something, but this, the way it reads, says that that's the only place you can ride is around the cabins.
So maybe just around the cabins for ingress and egress?
Yeah,
I'm not, because I'm not in a cabin. I'm up there on my lot.
Right.
And the way this reads right now, I can't ride from my lot to headquarters.
Right.
Or for me to go see Joe Bozet.
But I think, yeah. I think that what
that's just the way
I think that's a good clarification.
I don't think that's what the intent
was. I'll make that. Okay, look at...
With all of these rules on ATVs, you know, they've always been there. But to enforce them, we need to put some small signs up.
We can.
Maybe on the maybe on the reservation confirmation, you should say something about
just any lot owner.
Okay, why don't you make us a recommendation to us as to where the what signs and what they should say?
Right. I have 25-mile-an-hour signs.
Yeah.
On Meadow Canyon, the beginning, in the middle, and up by the gate. Maybe I could put them right there.
Could it be just attached to them? Is that what this
looks
like?
No.
Signs bill.
Because I don't know if legally if it's our responsibility, to post it. Because if somebody gets hurt, if they come back, they're on a ranch road. If we don't have any signage yet, I don't know if. I don't know what the law is.
Do we have a consent form like in my dental office? I use a consent form for surgery. Or stuff like that when they check in.
They quit doing it. Well, it's 10-3-5-0-3.
No, that's what you're saying.
Where does it say that, Kenny?
8.0-3.
When checking in ranch headquarters, you'll be given a compliance form that must be completed if you intend to use any off-road vehicles on common ranch property.
So my question to that is, if there's something on the website that says if you are going to be operating an ATV, or a motorized vehicle on ranch roads.
It could be on the website, and we should have a consent
every
form.
Every year, you need to sign your name to this consent form, saying that you understand the rules of the ranch and the rules of Utah, and that kind of just releases Deer Springs for any kind of liability.
I can put that in the confirmation paper, and then they print it off and bring it.
I'm just saying. There's some people that don't rent cabins.
That's true.
But they ride their ATVs. If it's on the website and if it's in the newsletter saying, hey, you need to sign this consent form that you understand the rules, it could go out with a newsletter. It could go out with but every member should consent to this.
I think that's something. If we make the document accessible on the website, a PDF file, and ask to put it on there, print it for the ones that need it. That way, we don't have to use the postage to mail it to Reddit. Maybe not have ATVs.
Yeah, and just have a file.
And on the bottom of that, the reservation page, the link to the ATV laws, Utah laws, so that they can have those helmets and stuff before they come to the ranch, rather than get here going, oh well, we don't have helmets for our kids.
Can they sign it for the year? Like they do St. George at that jumpy house place?
Mm-hmm.
My kids have a release there for if they go with their friends, they're already on file as having that release. You don't have to sign it every time you come to the ranch.
I think every lot owner should have a release for whoever.
I do that. My daughters have their in-laws come, and there's 30 or 40 of them. I have all signed a real hairy, long release for.
If you told me something on the website that we could print off, that would make that much easier.
Yeah.
And the form says if they break your teeth, they got to go to you.
And when we send out the dues, for the year, say, we ought to have some little caveat that says, this is your dues statement and your annual. By paying your dues, you do agree to uphold and blah, 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 the rules and regs of Deer Springs Ranch.
That goes out in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So is this something that you would be in charge of?
Linda will put that on.
The website? Okay.
Oh, the website?
Is that part? Linda and Bob?
Bob is.
Bob.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So all right. Will we have this for December?
Huh?
Will we have this for December? So
I think
we're going to work at it. Yeah, we're going to have to work really hard. We got 3 weeks, so it's supposed to go out.
3 weeks, yeah. First of December, I can send it.
All right. Let's make that our goal. So by the end of this week, I'll send out the modified thing of what I understood. And in the meantime, send me anything you want to.
Okay.
And then we'll try to rework it one more time. Then I'll send it back out. And then before Thanksgiving, let's try to have all our input in. And
sounds
then we can
good.
Get it to... Okay, I might redo the numbering. Yep. I'm just going to make you aware of two things and I'll... because there's lots of places where it talks about members, cattle, and horses, and things we used to do, and I just crossed out all of that. And a real, perhaps, interesting place would be 16.01, and I crossed out 16.02 altogether, and I crossed out on 16.1 effective April 1st. And... you can see that. Now here is a real controversial area that you'll have to give me feedback on in the 18.01. And this has to do with hauling of water. Okay? We need to really identify which members haul water. And it's again on the pay, you use it, you pay for it thing. Just like we hooked up and I asked Jody to come up with some information. She'll send it out to us, I hope, because we don't have time to discuss it. But we signed up water usage things and agreements and for pumping and how much water and what they were charged from the big tank at the top of the airstrip. So our members, you know, heretofore we've charged them $100 a year or something to haul water and it's just been pretty well unlimited, but we have to pay for the pumping and, you know, the generator, all of that. So you need to this will be maybe a major issue with certain of our members. We have to think long and hard about this. Do we indeed want to have a per gallon? They come up and fill up 500 gallons, or they charge a certain amount. So you'll all have feelings on this, strong and not. That's going to be one of our hardest things to decide, I think. Just that, wanted to give you that preview.
I got one question.
Yeah.
The current hookups to the water system that were sold,
mm-hmm.
are they paying us?
That's what I was trying to find out from Jody. And
you're seeing a check from me?
We only have one, right?
Well, you have three hookups, but only
one's
using.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought we had a hookup fee.
We had a hookup fee, but then they had to pay so much a gallon. For
I thought it was
so strictly by the gallon?
Yes, by the month.
I thought it was
by the month, and if they go over a certain amount, I think. But I couldn't remember, and I couldn't find it. I think we had an amount stipulated way back then. So we need to research that. Okay, I'll just say in closing, you'll see all of these... committees. These were committees that were formed, you know, a long time ago. Larry was flora and fauna committee. We even had that out of interest. There are all these committees were to try to not solve hard problems, but to actually have more activity and things of interest for members of the ranch. So there's a combination of all those. And I think it was just too much. We had a board rep and we had a chairman. So now I think we'll have a board rep and then members on that committee. Okay? So look that over. I need help putting your names. I think I got to put Robert's name where it goes in a few places. I need help with that a lot. So at that, I give. All right. Roads. Let's see. Finances, water resources, and legal. Jody.
So, I don't know how many people, but I brought some today, and I think all the board members now have copies of version 3 on the worksheet for the budget. Do you have one of them?
I don't know. She's got something right there.
I just sent them out this, passed them out this morning.
Yeah, this one says version 3 on
the top.
Looks like it.
Right.
Okay. So, and if anybody that's here remembers that one, I have copies of version 15 still left over. I'm sorry. The first version, so if you want a copy of that, I don't have more prints of the version 3. You want more, a copy of this? This is where we started from.
I have a version, the other old version.
This is the one we started from. This is the version where we're at.
So last month's meeting, we spent a lot of time and cleared up most of the items on the budget. Here's some more.
I'll leave one.
No, this is the old one.
Oh,
There's a few changes, and she's stipulated on this. So that'll give you 90% of it.
Okay. Yeah. So the last time on version 2, the last meeting that we had, we were about 2,000 in the hole after figuring. I need to ask you something. So, got some suggestions from Joe, and then about some places, some categories we could reduce, and then there were some places that I looked through the budget and reduced as well. Let me get my print copy here. And I did come out with a balanced budget. Yay!
Yay!
That's version 3.
Version 3.
Okay.
I didn't pass out one that had my name on it, so Jody's notes do. Did I?
If I could mention something real quick, at the last meeting, we started the budget, and I had kind of a wish list, and I went back on that wish list, and really there's nothing on that list that we desperately need to have. I just wanted to make record of that. There was a few things on there, you know, I think the ranch could benefit from, but really there's nothing on there that the ranch needs to have.
Did I accidentally send out version 3 that has, like, Jody's notes on the top left because it has my markings of what I changed? All right, well, here's a spare copy, too, if I need it.
Of the newest one? Okay.
Really? Well, anyway, I'll try to do this from the top of my head. So I can't send a look at that. Okay. So basically what I did here, the first thing, I guess, before I start in the line-by-line budget, one of y'all that know me know that I play fair, and I want to play fair. I think it's really important that Bill Hall would be compensated for $10,000 worth of work that he did on the ranch road up to Crawford a couple years ago. And not that it's, I wouldn't want to pay more, Bill, but I'm just trying to be equal. So we overspent $10,000 one year and a different portion, and I think if we overspent there and we paid $10,000 extra to do that, then I think that we should compensate you that same amount. So I wanted to make a motion to do that, but I have this all written up on, here we go. And that's why what I propose is on the income of assessments, you'll see I reduced that by $950. And I did that thinking that if this was agreeable to Phil, that we reimburse him the same $10,000. And how we would do that is waive his dues on 2 lots for 6 years, not including the time you spent on the board, because, of course, that's already done. And then for the next 4 years, pay him $1,000 a year, $1,300 the first year, $1,000 the second year, $1,000 the third year, and $1,000 the fourth year, to pay the $4,300, which makes up the grand total of $10,000, if that's acceptable for you. And I don't know if that needs to be a different discussion, but that's why I made that number change.
I see. Okay. And I didn't anticipate, but you're using this $10,000 figure. I actually... And I'm not asking for this, but I actually spent like 66.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And then I made that suggestion to the board a few years ago about being responsible in different ways for, you know, much less than a half of what I can't remember. And I sent the board had that, and then Joe had that. I thought Joe was going to work up some.
Well, I gave all this to Jody since she's finance.
Okay.
So, and see, the reason I don't know that we can reimburse, like, anything more than the $10,000, because I'm just trying to make it a level playing field with the $10,000 that was previously spent on something that was not, it never came to the board for approval, so it was something that was spent. It benefited the ranch, but it was spent, and we didn't have it in the budget, and it wasn't pre-approved. So that's why I want to do the same offer to you, is just do the 10,000 because it's something that the board didn't pre-approve. It's nothing that the ranch pre-approved, but it did benefit the ranch. So that's where I came up with the 10,000. So if we need
that's where I might differ a little, because I had some emails in it where the board did talk about it and approve it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but we need to address that again.
So I'd say there's a lot of confusion here. And wait, this is going to wait a little longer. But
okay.
But for a starter, and for something, and then that's fine, the direction you're going. I mean, but I'm not going to vote on that because I'm...
But is this a good start until we get somewhere with it?
Absolutely. Anything's a start.
Okay.
A start, yeah.
So I want to make the motion that we start paying that bill with this idea or proposal of waiving his dues on two lots for 6 years. That's $5,700. Therefore, that's why I reduced this... Well, I should have reduced this year's on the income, but that's why it'll be like reduced income for the next 6 years,
he has two lots.
Correct.
So,
right. But I figured that in. But I said I did the two lots there instead of
Right.
So I guess I should have written this up in a description, but I wanted to make that proposal that we do that.
Over a motion.
A motion that we waive his dues for two lots for 6 years and pay the remaining $4,300 in yearly increments for 4 years.
So the vice president needs to take charge of the motions. And
I'd like to say something first. There's other members that have done the same thing that you've done, you know, and we want to be fair. So I'm all for, you know, paying you back. But I'm going to vote with the... that we'll go over some of the other roads that other people spent money on. I mean, it doesn't seem fair to me that, you know, okay, it benefits Phil and it benefits all the lots up there. So yes, we owe him money. But I went across Slide Canyon the other day, and the only places that didn't, that weren't totally destroyed, was where somebody put cinders down at their own expense. And it's a whole mile and a half of road, you know, that was done. And that's the only place in Slide Canyon that didn't wash out, where the road was taken care of. So we do have other people that have spent their money. With permission or not, we should have been the one as a board to do that road.
And then
you're
talking
about
the ranch
on the
island.
What's that?
Because I haven't seen any places where the ranch is washed down that
road. We'll take you over to it. You want to go over this afternoon? We won't have to take you.
For the last 5 years.
Well, maybe there's cinders down out there, and it's the only place after the rain.
There's a little section on there where the cinders are. And actually, motorcycles go down on those.
That's only one member.
Okay.
There's other members too that have spent money.
Well, I think those would probably be addressed one by one then.
Yeah. And I just don't want to overload our budget with this one without talking about the others.
I kind of thought a lot of this was due to the amount of gravel that Phil Hall underwrote that the ranch used on all the roads, including Meadow Canyon and other places. We aren't talking about just what was done on Cropper Canyon. We're talking about, I don't know, how
did
many
you pay
yards
for
of
gravel on the Meadow Canyon road?
Was screened and washed, or not screened, but screened, and left there at the gravel pit that everybody took out parts of, including a lot of people took it for their own lots that probably never reimbursed for.
We all did. We all bought gravel from that.
So, how much was, you know, I had a full truckload of gravel brought up here that I was supposed to take. When I went to get it, there was nothing left. I mean, people do it. I mean, people grab this stuff all the time. And I know exactly where it's at.
I don't want to
spot for historical. That's just to tell you, because again, I'm not going to try to bias this as president of board. Leland will have to.
Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, I paid for the total setup of all the equipment and takedown. And for a lot of that gravel and...
Speak loudly for the recorder, please.
Anyway, so yeah, that besides the actual work on Crawford, which amounted in the high 60s, there were other costs to probably the tune of $10,000 to $15,000 that I did not include. So,
Well, I think we should go with that proposal, but we should look at being fair to everybody.
Yeah, there might be two proposals. One would be the proposal to pay fullback. The other one would say there's a year time from this date forward for anybody that has done work, please put in writing to the board your claims. That way, from next year, this
time
next year.
And there might not be anybody to do it.
And there might not, but we'll give it available to all of them. And that way we can clear it up.
We cover
anyone who needs to.
We cover ourselves.
Absolutely, and then we can resolve it.
But the one thing I would like to say is that I had attempted from the very first even thought of doing this, communicated with Brent Fulmer, the guy in charge of roads, gave him the plans, what I intended to do. Anyway, it wasn't like I just did it and then told him.
Right.
It
should be approved for the board. If it wasn't, well, okay, but then you should have backup data. I wasn't on the ranch 4 years ago looking at all the different roads or what was done. So if you are going to submit for some reimbursement from the board from work done years ago, you'll have to have backup data with it, receipts, what you had done, or somebody else that can verify that. It's very tough for us, for a board, especially me, to vote on something that I don't know if it was really done correctly or not.
Let's all prepare on good with this proposal.
I totally agree we do that, and that we maybe, like I said, leave it open for a year to anybody that would have a claim that can do that.
But this is the only one that's been discussed.
Yes.
Right, on
yes.
this. And this will be two different. Yes, and Phil's will be one issue, and then I think the other one will have another issue.
Okay, there is a motion on the floor. Would you repeat that, please, for me?
I should have wrote it up. I make the motion that we reimburse Phil Hall $10,000 for road work done in 2012 by waiving his dues on two lots for 6 years and paying the remaining $4,300 over a time span of 4 years.
I'll second the motion.
Ask for a vote.
And then a vote. Everybody in favor?
Aye. Is it unanimous, or did you vote?
I have voted. I think there's still some issues out there to be on the roads.
So we have how many ayes?
Five.
And are you abstaining or saying no?
Oh, I just don't abstain.
It was unanimous.
It was.
No.
He said it's
abstained.
Yeah, it's. Well, who's voting? We all on the same page. Yeah.
So it's 6-1.
Five.
I abstain.
Five.
Oh, he abstained. 6-2.
5-2. 2 abstain.
5-2 abstain.
So motion carries. But yeah, definitely need to discuss more of that later. Okay, so going, and that's why line one, I deducted the $950 thinking that he was paying dues for 2 years, but he's not anyway because he's on the board, so that increases back up, so I'm going to change that back. So that doesn't affect our income this year, except for where I took it off later. Okay, moving down, let me find my color sheet here. That was the first change made, and then down on line 27, I went ahead because the porta potties were donated last year. We don't know that that's going to happen again this year. So I went ahead and put in the $300 until we find that out.
They still need to be pumped.
They have been donated. They have to be pumped.
Yeah. Okay. So I put $300 for next year's cost of that.
Perfect.
All right.
The pumping, that'll cover pumping?
Sure. Yeah, twice a year.
And then the next line that Joe sent in to me on tools, we brought down to $2,000. We took $500 off of what we originally proposed, so we're down to $2,000.
Can you give us the number on that, please?
Line number 29. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving down to line 39. Figuring that we haven't used a lot of legal over the last few years, and last year was about $300. I went ahead and adjusted it down to $3,000 instead of $4,000 to help save us on the bottom line. On line number 44, the $84, we talked about that last month as far as keeping the radio license going, so that's just going to be pocketed and saved until we have to pay it. In 2017.
No, it'll be 2022.
Yeah, there was a change in that.
Okay, so 2022?
2022.
Oh, good.
So we can reduce that?
Yeah, so I'll reduce that.
Reduce it or remove it?
No, you still got to build it up, but you reduce it to $22 or something. Whatever that
I have a question. When we save up, when we say so-called save up money, do we actually...
Do we need to do that on a $420 thing? Yeah.
I don't know. With other things, do we actually have an other account that we put it in and mark it so we know where it went? And, okay.
We call it unencumbered.
Or we also have a capital improvement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And then moving down to line 65.
That's for you.
A change in that, and Leland, I don't know if this is good with you, but it seems like it's a good number from past. 65 is for crop management. I took it down 1,000 from 4,000 to 3,000. Let me verify that here.
Would that be for like reseeding and that type of thing?
Yes.
I am not current on the costs other than what you show here. I have no idea what it's going to cost.
So $28.98 was typical?
And that probably changes depending on the acreage that's involved.
I think in the future, if the ranch came up with a plan, I think that number could change dramatically. Or drastically. That's the new word. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a good 400 acres that I think we could dump a lot of money into and just really kind of groom these association acreage. But
that's on the one
right now. I mean, that's future. So that's a good number.
And really, in 2010, we spent $150 on it for the whole year. In 2011, we spent about $900 for the whole year. In 2012, we did lay that seed. We spent about $4,400 that year. And then this last, in 2013, we spent about $33.
So it varies wildly. The first 2 years was probably just using poison, and then the other years, the seed is very expensive.
So. Yeah, so we had to chunk of seed on 2012.
But we understand this spraying that Paul was talking about is not cheap either. For spraying in that broad hollow area to reduce the noxious plants.
In other areas. But, you know, if we want to come up with a plan, and this is future, you know, we don't have anything in the budget for this next year, but in the future, I think we should
plan
on. We can
just corral ourselves into this 3,000 problem.
In the past, we had somebody from the state come out and spray a lot of it.
They still do.
It's $100. Well, that's different, yeah. It's $75 for the day with the account.
Okay, Jody, let's continue.
Okay, down line number 66, and this is under Leland's category as well. Instead of having 5,000 for the fencing, I took it down 1,000 because I understood from people that we were pretty good on fencing this year.
I talked to Paul that I want to get with him and kind of check it out and see how we're doing on that and in another area. With the longhorn cattle, I understand there was some fencing there that needed to be taken care of, but didn't talk about in the lease, but I'm assuming it has been taken care of.
So how good are we on the fencing overall, just down?
Overall, I think there's a good foundation, but there's a lot of tuning up and repairs. But there's areas that 1 year it's good, and then the next year it's horrible.
So we could spend $20,000 if we wanted to, right?
Yeah.
So we just have to pick down areas per year.
Just there are band-aid effects on the fences.
We're putting in some fence, but
what would be good is to identify this year
our needs, if you want to look at them,
and set priorities and amounts.
Yeah.
Then we can budget for it.
Right now we're kind of not knowing.
We're trying to keep from raising the dues, basically. Trying to stay within our means. So it's grinding on us a little bit here, but
those that have the first original copy, think line 60 might have said a different figure, but now we're at $7,025 because the insurance increased. We increased our limits. So there's a new figure there, so that's been adjusted. On version 3, it's in there already, so you can see that. Okay, moving on to line 86.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand, we already had the compressor checked or done, and so all we need now is the tires. So we took Joe took $1,000 off that category.
I think we took two off. $1,000 off, didn't we?
Oh, was it $2,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so we took $2,000 off. Yes, I'm sorry. $2,000 off. So now we have the Kubota at a $3,000 repair for the year, and that should do it. We're thinking that should do it. Okay. Under line 103, on the first version of the worksheet, we didn't include the $800 for water resources. So we put that in for testing fees and other. So that's on line 103. That's on there now. And then you'll see on line 110 is where I put the $1,300 to pay Phil this year. The next 3 years would be come down to $1,000.
Can I ask a question on line 104?
Yes.
$200 if we drive to Cedar City?
If we drive the test.
Oh, for the year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. And that brings us to a positive cash flow of $283.
Can we go back to that line 112?
112?
Oh, yes.
So you didn't put anything in there afterwards, but you said in blue that for...
Yeah, in line 112, was it Joe that told me about the rock screen from Alan, right. Or was that...
I got that input from Alan, and it's on rollers. And where those pins are and the way they're connected into the rollers, Alan used it a few times, but he was scared to death. It was very tentative whenever he did use that. His claim to me was, from all the rock screens he's ever worked with, that one has a potential of breaking rather readily. And I asked him specifically, so should we buy this? Should we not buy it? Can we repair it? He said, that's a can of worms. I would not recommend that you do that. So I don't know the guy or the situation, and I'm not a rock screen guy, but that's taking it from somebody whose judgment I trust.
I trust Alan's judgment on that.
Well, kind of my thought on that. You know, he told me about the pins where the rollers are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I...
The size of the screen.
Well, I mean, you can change it. You can change that. You can go down, but you can't go up. If you get a small rock screen, you can't make it bigger. So you can put something over it. And I went and looked at it, and I agree. I think it's one of those where I think eventually it will break, and we'll have to fix it. But my thought is, you know, the whole frame, the whole deal as a whole is pretty good working order. When it does break, we cut all of the rollers off and we weld our own deals on there, saving us from having to buy a huge, you know, another rock screen. Trading assessments, you know, it's not out of pocket, but it kind of is. But you look at the future, you know, we need to put some rock on the ranch roads. Trying to get, you know, some equipment where we can do that.
Can we reduce to 2 years then, since it's going to be, we're going to have to put money into it, have a trade for 2 years of assessments?
Other concern is too, I mean, you need a backhoe and a dump truck to move the stuff, and we don't have either. So we're trading for something that's going to be good in the future, but
we can't use it.
Until we can afford the backhoe and the dump truck, we can't move the gravel or process it if we wanted to.
Wasn't the original price on that somewhat less than that?
No, his price was pretty much solid. I had tried to talk him down, and you know, there's a lot of money in steel on that. But, you know, I'm just trying to see there is a dump truck on the ranch, and there is a backhoe on the ranch, and you know, if we paid somebody 8 hours at $75 an hour to screen material, we can have a nice big pile of material that we could use on the roads. That with the Kubota, I could take a bucket load up to the upper cabins and spread it while I'm up there, you know, a bucket load at a time. You know, 5 years from now, we might decide, you know, to buy a backhoe.
What do we have for a dump truck?
I'm not saying we have. I mean, there's, you know, access
to several backhoes on the ranch.
Yeah, well, I know.
You know, it's I'm looking towards the future. We got to start somewhere.
So if you want to go down the price and we know we're going to have to spend a lot of money on it, are we better off to buy something when we're ready?
I mean, if you look at rock screens, I mean, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, down the road we're going to have to put some. We have the steel pipe already. All we need to do is cut it and pay somebody to spend a day in welding.
So is the frame worth that much?
Yeah, frame's good.
Is it worth $4,000? Or is this the price? $1,900?
Yeah. Yeah. If you go online and you look at Grizzlies, look at rock screens, they're super expensive.
I can look more into it, but yeah, I propose we, go back with a 2-year assessments for it. See what he says.
I've already talked to him. He said there's no way.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that much in steel, but it's worth that much.
By telling you buy a steel and pay somebody to build it, an hourly wage, run their welder,
might be worth buying.
You're probably just shooting even pretty much.
How much are we talking about?
Steel is very expensive right now.
1908 is what it says for the assessments.
No,
maybe it'll take some Dodge van for having it.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep in the back of your mind, we're going to come to the fire truck thing, which would be a more useful thing for the time.
Because I'm against doing it only because the I originally thought it was going to be very inexpensive, for us to have that. And now, we're looking at something that Alan Steed, he's been doing this all his life. He's saying don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion one way or the other to not use it or to use it. Sounds like we're in general, we're talking about not doing it. Do I hear anybody to the contrary on the board who would say, no, we got to have it? I don't hear that. So I don't even know if we need it. I think we can just leave that with Jody's suggestion now. I don't even think we even need a motion. Okay.
So...
Yeah, I mean, it's not in the budget per se, so it's not something that we're paying out of the budget. It would just be assessment for previous years, I think.
That's cash money, no matter how you look at it.
But as far as doing the budget for now, it's not critical.
I would say, too, in your areas of expertise, and as we we work on this year's budget, we see how it goes, that for next year's budget, because you guys are on the hook for 2 years here, that we refine our wish lists a little bit, and maybe we start a small amount each year towards that or something, or we have a goal.
Bank some money so that we can purchase or
a wish list fund. So that brings us to our bottom line, and we were in the positive by $1,233. I like that kind of cushion.
Okay, 1 second. But is your comment pertaining to the rough thing?
No, $119.
Federal taxes?
Your taxes should be zero. When I was the president, we set up a strategy to ensure that our taxes would be zero by collecting assessments on a ratio of 60% for general assessment and 40% for capital improvement. I think if you work with your tax accountant, you should be able to
minimize or reduce that?
Well, you're not a nonprofit. But your business isn't making profit. Niall is very conservative because he feels like because you have cabins up there that you're occasionally renting out, that you have to file, as a for-profit operation. So that's why we set up some strategies where, he told us if we designated the fees as they came in differently, then they wouldn't be considered as income. Only 60% of them would be income, 40% would be a donation to capital improvements, and he was supposed to drive the taxes off of that strategy to have a zero.
And he was who? Who was he?
Niall was. He does the tax returns. Uh-huh. But there's no question with some tax strategy that, HOAs aren't paying a lot of taxes typically. It's only this anomaly that is creating a tax burden for you that is solvable.
Is this what you were doing when you were president?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah, we set it up that way. And why I wasn't. I wasn't president the next year when the tax return was done.
Very good suggestion. Thank you. So as far as action then, Linda, you'll talk.
I've written it down to call.
I would have him do a corrected return for the previous year, too,
yeah,
and get that back.
So we actually, you know, in 2010, we paid about $1,300 for the taxes, and then the next year it jumped up to $4,800 in 2011.
You've got to get some tax strategy going, and you might even need to get some independent because, I mean, we always joke that if Niall can pay taxes, he finds a way to do it. But, you know, we always thought, are you in the back door with the IRS there somehow? But anyway, we had a little fun with that. But he assured us if we did this strategy, it would work. And I don't think it's been implemented, even though that's how we, you know, announced the collection and categorizing it.
And we have
since you were
on the year. Right. So you bill it in a different way, too, the wording of the billing. So we need.
Yeah, the billing's been like that since Dirk was president.
Okay.
So I just don't know if Niles.
Forgot.
I don't know. Somebody ought to dig in. Sure.
Okay, Linda, that's your side. Okay, great.
Joy? So anywhere else through this budget that. You guys can see we can make any adjustments, and Leland, I'll wait to hear back from you about those categories to see where you think we're at with it. Okay. This is just version 3, so we have more room. Go ahead.
Oh, on the two that we just discussed?
Yeah, or anything else on there in your section.
Well, I've been thinking about maybe breaking down a little bit on what we get on, like, for the wildlife kind of things for hunters and stuff. You know, what they actually bring in as far as cabin fees and things like that. I see we just get a general income here, but I don't know what actually is coming in broken down, because some of these hunters or something that come in, I guess, pay a trespass fee to stuff to come onto the property, and I don't see any breakdown of that.
How's that work, Linda, with Larry?
When the hunters come on, they pay a trespass fee. They sometimes rent the cabins, not always. Sometimes they have Larry take him around.
Not always Larry.
It
hasn't been Larry for the last couple of years.
Who's done it?
Me.
Okay.
I don't know if we can make a category in there to kind of break it down, or if we just have to put it in as a lump here. But
this wildlife income here is the Student Paw Association. That's where this money is. This is not part of
that. That's the permit stuff, right?
Yeah, well, no, it's not permit. It's where the Wildlife Association pays us back the damage that deer do on our property.
Oh, deprivation.
Yeah, deprivation. Thank you. That's the word. And so that's what this 65 is.
Okay.
That's not the income from trespass fees and things like that.
That's not always that same number. It goes up or down 1,000.
It depends on what it auctions for.
Depending on the year.
Depends on what they sell the tags for to hunters.
And that was for the tag that we would get, but they sell it and give us the money.
Correct.
Okay, and that's to...
A long time ago, we used to have the tags and we would sell them ourselves, but then the area or whatever went into this pool thing.
So this income's coming in for damage done to fences and stuff like that? Is that what they compensate us for, or just to the ranch?
Not specific, but...
Well, they went together as a group, and as a group then they sell the tax.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving the money back to you to essentially allow for the hunting and the damage that may be done, but one of the ways that they set up the tags is, and you can probably look into possibly changing this, you know, depending on how many acres you had that's like irrigated alfalfa fields versus open rangeland and so forth, they give you different prices with some of the mowing and seeding that you're doing. It may be worth checking into to, you know, how they're allocating that, but they're essentially saying, because we know deer and hunters affect your property, and that's, but you're willing to join into this organization, this is how you're going to be compensated back.
And this is a percentage on our total amount of land?
Yeah.
goes off the acreage.
Yeah, it goes off the acreage, but it's dramatically different for irrigated and
or seeded ground.
If you were irrigating the well field,
this is the landowner's machine.
Yeah, it's like 30 times more.
You got one permit for 20 acres of irrigation, for one permit for 640 acres of non-irrigated.
So this is a way we could possibly look at increasing what we get.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now that one question, like I planted a couple of acres up on a big plateau at my place. Could that count in favor of the ranch?
I don't know. Somebody maybe down know. Somebody would need to look into it, and it may be that it was
set at
this time, and it doesn't get reviewed for only every 10 years or something. I don't know, but somebody else.
This is for the common usage, and we are a member of this association.
So just for our common usage acreage, not our members.
Not individual members, right. This is common usage.
Right.
And we are a member of that association to receive that privilege, to receive that money, those monies.
But I don't think we ever declared any irrigated or cropland.
I don't think so either.
So that could change the application.
Yeah, like Dale said, what was one tag for 20 acres?
1 year we used to get 5 or 6 tags, but then they changed all of them.
Yeah.
So who would I talk to find out? This would be,
is it Bruce Bunting right now?
Bruce Bunting, I think, is.
It would be Bruce Bunting.
Who?
Bruce Bunting here in Canal.
What's his official title?
I think he's not the president. He's vice president or secretary.
We got a phone number here for you.
Also got
All right, Jody. So Jody's asked us if there are any other additions, subtractions to your knowledge right now.
Real quickly, could she explain 128, 129, 130 to some of the members that have not been here to see what you're trying to do on a long-term basis?
Sure.
Real quickly.
Oh, yeah, I still have time, right?
You still have time, yes, you do.
All right, 128... 129 and 130, as Candy mentioned, are like little savings accounts that we're saving up for our big ticket items that will eventually need to be replaced. Number 128, line number 128 is for the ranch house solar batteries, because we'll know in 7 years we need to replace those. So we're saving up $800 this year to go to that fund. Line 129 is for the HP water pump. It lasts about 7 years. We're putting $1,000 aside right now. Like, we'll do that for 7 years so we have enough to recoup. Hopefully we'll have it by the time it goes bad. And then also line 130 for the HQ generator, so we're putting $1,000 aside for that as well.
I'm hoping we made our estimates on the lean side, you know, or not the
heavy.
The little bit of luck we're going to let make them last this long, but on the heavy side. Is that correct? Okay. Great.
Anything else from any department people that would have any input on the pluses or minuses that we need to think about?
All right, then I would like to just get a feel. Do we feel? First of all, I would like to thank Jody. I think she spent hours on this and has done a marvelous job, and thank you very much. weeks. And do you all feel warm fuzzies about voting to approve this so we can make this official now?
Or do we want
to
get...
Or is there any other discussion that anybody wants to raise or things that we need to look more at?
Wait, I had to guess at your category, so I don't know. So are you want to take a week to kind of like
I can tell you those numbers are pretty good.
I talked to Larry too a little bit, but he's more on the wildlife end of things, not the agriculture things. So I'm still coming up to speed on a couple of these. So if Paul thinks it's fair, that's it's in line and. We'll go with that right now.
And remember, a budget is a working budget document. We don't expect to exceed our categories, but we're realistic enough that if something happens, we have to adjust, we can subtract and add. You know, this. But it's to get us as organized as we can be, come as close as we can be,
and strive to stay within our budget. So with that in mind, I would entertain a motion by anybody on the board to accept this as our working budget for 2015.
I'll second it. Phil, one question. Should it be noted on here on what Dirk Clayson said about going back to the two different categories?
And that would
$10,000 is a big item.
10 or 4,800 or whatever.
A couple of years ago.
Yes. And I think that's where we can come back. I mean, we can approve this now, but we can come back and say, okay, Leland, we got a couple more thousand, or maybe we ought to, let's get ahead on our equipment capital thing. We'll have to decide that. But I think that's an automatic deal. I think that's a good suggestion. So I'm asking for a vote of confidence on having this as our working thing. And if we get more money back from the taxes, we'll all jump up and down. Art?
I'll make a motion that we accept it.
Okay, Art makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Robert,
second? Or Bob?
Oh, okay. Bob did.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. That's a major task. So our next major task is before Thanksgiving to try to get the rules and regs whipped into shape. And I'll try to get those modifications out to you by the middle of this next week.
And they'll all be included?
That will be included in the mailing. It should be approved by the board and then ratified at the next meeting, but the next meeting will be after the mailing. So
true.
You can get the rules and regs to a place where they are, where you can approve it, you know, over email or whatever, and then ratify it at the next meeting. It should be okay for me to send them out at the beginning of December.
All right.
Oh, are we doing a December meeting?
Not at this point.
In January.
Yes. Okay, then let's go down. We're running just great on our schedule. It's 11:55, and we had Joe down here at Roads and Fire at 12. So,
Robert,
thank you.
Robert. I'll take care.
Where did I go wrong here? Okay, Robert, take it away. Yeah, you have the extra time.
Right. The first thing, I guess, is memorandum of understanding on the Meadow Canyon Road. As far as I know, we do have a new set of signs and a place to put them that I was shown, but I don't think we've gotten them set up. Have you heard anything, Joe?
Are we supposed to put them up?
Yeah, Paul's going to put them up. We haven't got the new signs yet for the Meadow Canyon.
Oh, okay.
He just left.
Okay.
Yeah,
have we had any issues in the last month with
when the hunt started? There was a few people that, you know, they've been going up and down the canyon, up into the forest, and you know, we're not obligated, but we're allowed to lock that gate 2 weeks out of the year, and that's when I chose to lock the gate.
Okay.
But other than that, really nothing.
No parking issue? We didn't have anything like that again? Okay, good. Okay, well, I'll keep looking into it, and when we get those signs, you know, let me know, and we'll get them up as soon as possible.
So, did you say I'm responsible to put the signs up?
No.
The county's going to put them up. I just asked you if you received them or knew they were coming.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
The last I heard on them, that they had them all made up, but they didn't know what we wanted to do with them.
So maybe we should assign either have you call the county and say, hey, okay, the weather's still good, can we get them up?
Do you have a contact with the county to make a call? If you could do that, I'd appreciate it. Okay. Just send me an email if you know where you're at with it.
Okay, appreciate it.
But yeah, they have new signs that look better that don't say, what they say, public access through private road, basically.
No? Public road through private property.
Okay.
That's where the wording was.
There it was. Okay, so good.
But Robert, Dirk was given the maps in August to the placements according to the agreement of the board and Vance writing it up.
Right.
So he has all the maps
to
where they need to be placed.
Okay. Let's see. Before I get onto the fire truck, I guess.
What about the coal road?
Coal road. Now, we talked about getting that, and I did get an email that we did get.
It's beautiful
work
you
done.
Drive it, no problem at all.
So we had contracted Alan Steen to come up, and he went from the Meadow Canyon side up and over, and he actually cut north up going towards Crawford. And so he did that section, came back, and then went all the way down through to the Hoda side.
And he did it for under budget.
And we had budgeted $1,000, and he charged us for $900
something. Right on.
We definitely need to go to the BLM and let them know that we upgraded the road. Because we were in danger of losing the right-of-way, that's why we did it.
Yeah, the title.
That needs to be done right away.
Title 5 that we had, right.
Because they'll snag it from us if we don't.
Okay, so we need to contact county on the
BLM.
Can you send us a carbon copy of your email to them or whatever so we don't know?
Yeah.
And it's passable by truck, four-wheel truck, but it's nice.
Good. So we know another way out of there.
Couldn't even get through with a four-wheeler without going up in a circle around some of the ditches.
Robert, if you'll email me, I'll give you the information to contact.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Slide Canyon. Now, I talked to Ken a little bit, and I drove through last month, and there were some areas. I mean, I had my two-wheel drive, and I got through it. And Ken said, it looks like somebody...
It looks like the lower slide has been graded since I was here last. Did you do that now, or...?
The county.
The county
came in and went down 3 miles. Yeah.
They made an agreement back 10 years with us that they would do it once a year if we didn't take the government right.
That's twice for this year for them, isn't it?
Yep.
That's great.
That's the record.
Well, they want the road.
Yeah, did a good job.
Yeah, we'll have to thank them on that.
So we're too learned and preparing for that makes it a lot easier to maintain.
They did that double culvert. They're supposed to put in another culvert as soon as somebody rings their bell.
Okay, and this we're talking more lower slide, right? Basically, you guys call lower
slide.
Okay.
Right. So do you know where that culvert is that Dale's speaking about?
No, the new double one that they're supposed to put in? No, I don't know.
No, just a single.
Just a single?
Okay. Double down at the bottom end, that same drainage.
Okay.
Where it crosses up by the little triangle room.
Yes. Okay.
There's supposed to be another 5-foot culvert there.
Okay. Thank you.
Might add to you, since the culvert rings a bell in my mind, I may be getting 30-inch culverts, I don't know how many, but, you know, it'd be a whole lot better price than having to go out and buy them new. Through a kind of a trade thing with Alan that I might be able to have available for us.
Just steel, plastic, or concrete?
Steel and perhaps some concrete, but mostly steel. I think there's even a few plastic things, but I think it's mostly steel.
Okay. I think we can get our hands on some culverts cheap, but we shouldn't pass them up.
How about, since they brought it up, the different materials? Is the plastic holding up, or will it
have... Depends on where it's going, how big it is.
Okay. So the smaller ones, plastic probably better. If it's bigger, we probably want steel or concrete.
Like I said, it just depends on where it's going.
Okay, so it all depends. Okay, good.
How cheap it is.
Right, okay. So, yeah, you don't see any real problem, say, with the plastic breaking through.
No.
It's usually wash out from rains and so forth going across the road. Okay. All right, thanks, Phil. Yeah, let me know if any info you get on those, and if we can transport them up here, it would be great. The fire truck will wait for last, but I was putting together kind of a 5-year type plan for roads. I'm looking at specific areas and like a project type thing for different, for Slide Canyon, Meadow Canyon, and Culverts was first on my list, and it looks like we're getting them. I'd like to get a point that, one, I've got them all identified. I know where they all are, what sizes they are. And then I think I'll talk to Paul, too, and other members about if you have any special areas. But then maybe, because I think it was Lee brought up about head walls. And I think what we're doing was we're packing the sides of the culverts with rock, basically. Is that basically right? So if the water comes in, if it washes that rock away. So I'm thinking maybe in a couple years is maybe getting some concrete and maybe concreting in all those little areas. You wouldn't concrete a whole head wall, but you'd leave the existing rock. Maybe shore up that so that, and of course, you just, it's mostly the upside. Downside usually will flow out and be okay. But I'm thinking maybe, and that's going to be very intensive, and I'm hoping I can get up here maybe next year and maybe work with Paul and do some of that and get some work done on some of those and see how they hold up. So I'm going to be trying to identify certain areas. So I'm thinking we might be getting the roads up to snuff as far as full travel and maintenance, we know, and storms, but maybe getting the culverts finished up and then doing head walls and then looking at other special projects that I can put some money aside for, that I want to put $3,000 or $4,000 for a special road project, and I'll get together with Paul. But that's what I'm looking for in the future.
Let me add this to you. As I will try to organize some of those committees, and as we have, when I say committee, I mean, I'm sorry, area representatives. Because I think if we have these certain section sliders, you know, we have 10 or 12 lot owners in an area, we break it down enough to where they know each other, they know what their problem is, then they can, then you can call on these area reps and say, hey, what's going on, you know, over there, Dale? What do you need over there? And that'll help you with your
budget. Right, yeah, and I could say, yeah, $23,000, and I'll say Slide Canyon this year, and Meadow, and then Johnny Brown, and then Crawford, or whatever, each year. And that way everyone will know, and yeah, whoever has that area can specify
Kenny.
What they want done there.
In the past, board members have had a listing of all the lot owners' addresses and phone numbers. If you don't have them, I think it would be good for you to be able to have that list so that you know how to contact these people rather than always going to Linda or Paul or whomever.
Right.
So I would make a suggestion if there's any way that yeah. list can be given to all 7 board members. I don't know. Is it already available so you don't have to
worry
about it?
That would be helpful to me in finishing up these assignments and things.
Okay, I'll look into that.
And then the last thing was we've had emails and talking about purchasing a fire truck. And as far as roads go, I don't know how the truck's on the road, but as long as it doesn't tear up my road, I'm all for it, I guess. But,
The situation we had with that, when we had, like, for instance, when Alan was working on the roads up in Phil's Place, we made it understood that if that truck, if all that going back and forth is damaging that road, then they are responsible for bringing it back up to usability.
So I would have them regrade it and
exactly.
Put gravel down.
The thing is, the fire, we're required to keep, our agreement is we're going to keep water at certain spots around the road. Brent and I have done this mostly with putting water tanks out
right.
on different areas of the ranch so that we can meet what they've asked for us to do to reduce maybe the amount of limit trimming we're supposed to do on some roads. Okay, this fire truck actually would be a portable unit that would carry some water on it and have a pump that you could, with enough hose, maybe you could reach this tank.
There's a lot of hose with that.
It takes a BLM a good hour to get out here.
Right.
If we can find a snag and go ahead and knock it out before it gets to the point. And 90% of the snags go out by themselves anyhow, but you worry about that small percentage that take off.
Right.
You know, ours has been up there and stopped a few of them, and I've been out there on a few of them in the past, and it's kind of scary for
right.
a little bit.
It could be used as a water truck.
The water truck that's portable and the hose that reach out a couple hundred feet make a lot of difference.
Is this fire truck being looked at for the ranch facility right there at the
yeah.
ranch?
Yeah, it's going to be bought with private funds, but it would be set at the ranch and be under the direction of the ranch manager so that it could be taken off to this spot.
You know,
Paul would be responsible for taking it.
Right. He mentioned, you know, these tanks around the ranch. That's fine and dandy, you know. Okay, somebody's got to go hook up to it and then go and have a pump, have a hose, and to be able to go. You know, with the ranch having, you know, 10 cabins and all the buildings and outbuildings, to have an asset like this, I think it's huge. You know, with people and propane grills and, you know, little bonfires outside of the cabin, you know, I'm surprised the ranch doesn't have one already. But you look at an asset like that, I don't know if it would help with our insurance to have it, but you know, you look at the accessibility, it's huge. I was talking with Brent the other day,
and there was a question about four-wheel drive. If you calculate the amount of days that you don't need a four-wheel drive out there, it's huge compared to the handful of days that you do need a four-wheel drive.
Yeah, I got with Brent, and after this meeting on the way home tonight, I'm going to go to Colorado City, and I'm going to look at the fire truck, see how it runs, see what the motor sounds like, drive it. One of the members asked if we could convert it to four-wheel drive, but that's not a possibility. The money for that would be more than a new truck would cost. It's just way out of proportion.
Did you talk to Brent about that? Because he suggested that he could.
We could if we can find one in a junkyard that has everything ripped apart and the drivetrain's good. But if we have to buy new pieces and new parts, it would exceed the price of that by four times.
This is like the little county, the older county trucks that they use.
Yeah.
And fresh even truck. For the two-wheel drive, they're probably invested $40,000 to $50,000 in the truck when it was new.
But I will go there on the way home. I will go there on the way home tonight, and I can email everybody what I think of the truck and how it's physically available.
Can someone present?
I don't know how to use the equipment. No.
Yeah, let me
look at the truck. Unless he shows me, yes.
Do you want me to tell him more about the truck?
Go ahead.
Let me explain for those who need to be brought up to speed. Does anybody have a picture of that thing here from the email or anything?
They just sent us a picture.
Anyway, we have the year.
It's a 72.
It's a 72, and it's a... It is a brush fire truck, and it has lots of good fire hose. It has tool areas. It has
50 feet,
pump, the right kind of pumps. So preliminarily, it sounded good. I had Brent drive over to Colorado City and look at it. He thinks it's a beauty for its age and all and for the price. But we consider it a luxury, and we're trying to stay within our somewhat of a budget and not raise dues, although maybe we'll have this little leeway, but here, pass this around. This is a picture of the truck, so you have an idea. So it's not a great big red fire truck with ladders and all kinds of stuff. It's a small fire containment,
which is the perfect motor.
Yeah.
May I interject? I have received enough emails that I think that we're pretty close to cover the cost of it. Of people that have said, "I'll donate $100."
Yeah. So here's my $100. Here's $100 towards
it. That's why I think you're
saying that. How much have we got?
So she just said, Linda, repeat that way.
I think the truck is paid for. More than anything, we just need to figure out if it's good for us, if it's a good truck, and if we want it.
Paul?
So I think, for the record, it's not discounting the BLM. I think the BLM should still be called, but it's just kind of a first responder, kind of a, for me, I have a few structures that I need to kind of watch and maintain, and with people on fire, there's always that chance that a little tree gets sparked up, and that little garden hose is just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So and the price of the truck is $2,500.
The price is excellent, for what it is.
Are we going to need insurance on this as well?
Yes.
But that's going to leave the ranch. Why should we?
Well, maybe. Who's our insurance person? Well, let's talk about that. I think you need insurance because if some little kid got run backed over.
Well, liability.
So liability for sure. So
wouldn't that be covered under our law?
It should be just added to
It's not going to be on the road where we're going to worry about running into other cars.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're
but if we have to take it into town to be worked on, or is
that's the only reason, but.
Does that mean that's
the only reason? You could call your insurance company and get a temporary deal for the weekend to go into
there. You go.
Yeah, they don't even charge you for 3 days.
So, Linda, I think an action thing. Well, we need to vote on for sure. We want to move on this, but Linda's giving us a kind of two thumbs up, thinking she's had enough people email her back positively saying, "Yeah, I'll donate $100." And you think we're getting close to covering that?
It's not covered yet, but we've got a good dent in that cost. So
I'd like to say one thing of what Ken said. I got with Brent a couple of years ago, where myself and Ken and a few other people, I have one water tank on my property. I keep 200 gallons of water in it all the time. in case there's a fire in my area or any place close to my area, people can come to my place and the bottom grade tank is not hooked to anything except an on and off valve, so you can fill your water devices. Or in this case, this truck holds 200 gallons of water and I have a 200 gallon tank, and I'll actually put a sign on it, say fire control. So yeah, when somebody shows up, they'll know which tank it is. And I just keep it full all the time just in case there is a fire. I don't use it for the cabin whatsoever.
And just so you
keep
one, you know,
with about 300 gallons in it.
Yeah. I think it's known, but I have a full-size water truck that Brent knows how to get into my place. And in the summer, I keep that full of water, and it has hoses, fire hoses, and all that right up there in Crawford where I'm at.
And you don't need a key to get on my place.
Yeah. Still, it would be good to have something down at the headquarters, because Paul's yes, one of the first people to know about the fire, and he can respond. So kind of get out there. We don't expect him to be a fireman, but he can get some water to the site.
So
makes a lot of difference.
So on the
difference.
Newsletter, that's why we put this on the newsletter. So encourage your friends, or if you feel so inclined to donate a little towards this truck. We just thought it was a good project as a donation kind of project rather than taking it out of reduced money.
Yep. Phil, I make a suggestion. If she still gets more money over the $2,500, I think that's something that still should be thanked for, because that can be put aside if you need new tires, if you need new equipment on there or anything
else.
Yeah,
another 200 feet of hose would have got up to the bad fire we had
right,
this last one we had.
Yeah.
So we could have brought that right up there and put it out and been done with it.
Like in a fire truck account or something, because that could be anything else you might need for the truck that is old or you need
yeah,
more of or replacement.
You might look at it.
I would suggest
windshield or
I would suggest that the truck is test operated before purchase.
I think
for the pump itself
well,
can be more than the truck is
well,
costing.
Do that.
I'm not about the water pump if he has water in it or fill.
I'm not sure if Brent did. He did do some testing.
Did
he? So Brent, yeah.
Those pressure pumps.
I think he did.
Pumps can be expensive.
We'll have to ask Brent. Okay, we kind of stealing his time. Did you have anything else besides
yeah,
water
no, that was it. I don't
then
know.
We should take a vote. I feel good about proceeding with water truck, especially in light of what Linda said.
Yeah.
I mean, if push came to shove and we were $200, $300 short, I would feel even good about going back to the budget.
We got $1,200.
And
I personally would have voted for it if we had to pay the whole $2,500.
Yeah,
I've
I
been
would
to, for the last three fires. And that would have been really nice.
So I think sometimes it's an opportunity for members to feel like they own another little piece of the ranch. So I would make a I'll make a motion that we proceed. And I've got to. I'll call Alan Marion. I don't remember the name of the guy that owns the thing. Well, you're going to talk to him.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the truck, and I'm willing to vote for it. But after I check it this afternoon, I may change my vote. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll,
I think
we'll,
there needs to be a proviso for all of us.
That'll be the caveat. If Joe and Brent say, there's too much, or the pump's out, or whatever, then we don't proceed. But as a, so when you talk to the guy, you need to tell him, we need 20, 30 days to get our money together. Yeah, we want it though.
One other thing, Phil, if we decide not to go with it, we should proceed looking for
something
another one.
Like it.
We've already got the money.
Phil, we don't have to wait 23 days. We've got it in the funds now.
Yeah, Brent and I scan the internet all the time.
Yeah, well, so.
And these things don't come up that often. Well, this is a good deal, I don't think.
Okay, Jody brought up a good issue then. Should we. Should we be sending Joe over for the last inspection, and if he feels good about it, give the guy a check and get the title and get the thing?
So do I need to call the insurance company because he's taking it, or are you just
going to take it? I'm just going to drive it, listen to it,
I'll get with
make sure it's mechanically sound, and if it is, then I'll say yay.
I'm sure, it depends on how we want to get
it's
here.
It's one of those things, Linda, that we ask for acknowledgement all the time.
We need to check with our insurance agent then for whoever driving it from here there to the ranch.
You can get 30 days after my vehicle.
Yeah, you can pick up a 5-day tag if nothing else.
I have full insurance on any vehicle that I drive.
Yeah.
With our insurance company. With our insurance company.
Even if the vehicle itself is not insured?
Right.
Well, when you buy it, your insurance
automatically covering it.
Yeah, maybe you should cover it for like a day,
but you're supposed to notify.
So it should be stopped. So do we need to do an inspection or not? If we're not going to license it, we don't.
To do anything.
If it's on the ranch, I mean, if you can call the insurance company and get a week temporary. We should be good.
Okay.
Motion on the floor.
So my motion is that we proceed, that we send Joe with a check if he says.
Sending Joe a two check.
No, but we need to secure it.
Deposit or something on it, maybe.
So that's the check I'm talking about. I'd just write out the $2,500 if you feel good about it.
I'll second it.
Then give him the $2,500 and mail us, get the title and mail it back.
You give me $2,500, I may not come back.
Well, we're not going to write it out to you. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, so done deal.
With the caveat about the pump.
Yes. We have to have, so try to call Brent, see if he did indeed check the pump.
I really trust Brent's decisions and his ability, but a second opinion never hurts.
And we could buy it with the caveat to the dealer, hey, you verify that this pump's working?
Right.
If the steel's set, we can pay for it right now.
Yeah, that's where we're going to send a check over. Good. Right. Yeah. Okay, then let's see. Well, we lost just a few minutes, but I think it was well worth it. And now we are on to equipment and cabin maintenance, Joe. And again, these timelines are just like the budget. It's just kind of a general thing. A little bit here, a little bit there. Just so it's not a half hour here and a half hour. Okay.
Fire truck's done. I'll cross that one off. Paul said he needed a washer for the washing clothes. I went to a few places and checked. They had some sales on them. And I asked for a commercial washer price, and nobody I talked to could get me one. But they did make a suggestion that if it is a commercial washer, it should have an agitator in the middle. If it doesn't, you're wasting your time. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
So we have to find one with an agitator and a good price.
They have them at the Maytag in St. George. We've already looked out.
How much were they?
I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look again. Or call them. I can call them.
Okay, so we need to get that.
I think it was $700 or $800, but I don't remember for sure.
I think
I had in here $700 for the washer, so I must have got that number from you.
Right.
So that must be at $700.
Yeah, that rings a bell with me. I don't know.
And I went to Sears, and Sears said we don't have any commercial washers, but we have some that are actually written right on the machine, commercial available or commercial acceptable. But he says, don't believe that. That's Sears' little trick to make you buy it. It did not have an agitator in the middle. And he says, I wouldn't buy it. So. We don't want to be duped by that. It's amazing how much you learn when you start checking into things you're not familiar with. Paul sent me a list of all the trucks we have and such for maintenance. And along those lines, we have to keep our fuel in check with the amount of gas we've been buying. According to the budget, we're over on fuel. And I've suggested to Paul that if he could let me know when oil changes are due, if he'll email me, I can buy oil in Vegas at Costco or Sam's or other places. And I recommend we go into a synthetic oil. You can usually go anywhere from 8 to 10 to 12,000 miles on an oil change. We could probably cut the oil changes down to twice a year. And I'm saying I could pick up the oil and the filters and bring it up, which would save windshield time and gasoline time for him going down to buy that. If they don't have it, he has to go back and pick it up and order it. So I'm usually up once a month all summer, twice a month usually, as a matter of fact. So I can actually bring up the oil and the filters and save some gasoline and windshield time for fall. And I'm willing to do that, provided I get a check from Linda wherever she's at.
I agree, we should go to synthetic.
Synthetic oil.
That was just on the tractors as well?
Yeah,
to give you an example, there's a company in Vegas called TrueLine. He's my old school teacher. I had him for a biology teacher as a freshman.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
a long time, over 50 years ago. Yeah. And he used to bring his whole fleet in to me for working on when I was at McCandless in International Trucks, and he switched to that, and he said, absolutely amazing. He was getting three times the amount of mileage out of his oil changes with synthetic compared to other oils, and he wasn't paying that much more, and it saved a tremendous amount of money and time.
So you know, there's a 55-gallon drum, 1540, in the tack shed.
Not synthetic, though, is it?
Not synthetic.
Well, we ought to finish using it if we have it, yeah. Okay. If it's the old-style oil, it's got to be sealed properly because the old-style oils that are not synthetic will absolutely suck moisture right out of the air and destroy them. So you cannot use an open container for very long. The old style, you poked a hole in the top, you put in half a quart, and a month later, you put the other half a quart, you did a lot of damage. You bet. With the new styles, with the lid, you're pretty good because they keep the moisture out. That's the tricky part about oil. And synthetic oil does not absorb the moisture, so you're there again, you're much better off. So I'll get with Paul on some of that. Did you get prices on the gas meters for cabin 7 or 8? Is from the propane.
They're about $350 a piece plus the time to charge to them to come out and install. You know, asked them, I said, you know, what if I bought my own? They said, well, you'd still have to call them to install it. They don't want us touching the tank.
Really?
I think that's actually part of our code.
Yeah.
Building code.
So we have to do that. Concern I have with Paul also is the new truck we just bought. He said the tires only lasted 1 year, and we had to buy four new tires the other week.
Well,
absolutely. It blew my mind.
September?
Yeah.
To September. And
from the bank meeting to now, we wore a pair of tires out, and he tells me that there's no road hazard because it's on the ranch. I've been buying off-road tires for a lot of years, and I bought them from Big O, and I bought them from Discount Tire, and they always give me.
Sam says it.
They always give me road hazard.
Let me explain. You can buy, not here, because of the area that we live in. You can go to Sam's Club in Vegas and get a hazard warranty on your tire. Now, when you go to take your tire back, it's an insurance company. You give them the tire, they send it to the insurance company, or they say, hey, what does the tire look like? If I show them the tire off the ranch truck, they're going to 100% of the time say absolutely not. Because of the way the tire looks.
I've asked Brent Fulmer that. He says he gets his road hazard.
Lee Bellard, for almost 20 years, has been getting a road hazard.
Yeah, I've asked where I get my tires, and he says that he can't afford to do it.
Maybe we ought to get them out of Costco at St. George then.
You know, I bought those down in Armour on the last two trucks.
You can get them.
80,000 miles on the Jeep. I've got 40,000 miles on the truck right now. I've never had a flat on these roads. There's not even a chip in the rubber. And the one that truck with 40,000 miles on it still got most of the tread left.
Now, what brand did you buy?
This time it was a Firestone. Normally, I get like a Nitto.
Terra Grappler.
Yeah. If anybody has any suggestions on tire, I've talked with everybody around here, and it's like an insurance company. Like, they'll take the tire, they'll say, yeah, you know, we'll give you a hazard warranty, but then they'll take the tire and they'll say yay or nay. And around here, just because of all the four-wheel driving that people do, you know,
you can't wait for a tire. You can't put it in and wait 2 weeks.
You know, 75% off-road most of the time. And they...
Well, if you had a couple of spares and you did get a blowout, you could wait a month to take it over.
I went through a consumer magazine, and they have a chart of which tires are good and not good. I don't know if you got access to that or not, but I can give you a copy of this. Not saying we have to buy these, but if they're available, maybe we should.
And you're on gravel road more than off road. For 15 years, I ran off road tires on those streets in rocky territory on BF Goodrich, and never had a sidewalk go out. Never had anything puncture through. I understand your Firestones are like 10 ply now.
I always get 10-ply.
Okay. Well, Benito's were 10-ply, were they?
Yeah. I always get 10-ply.
I got a simple solution. Put a governor on his truck so they go so fast.
Boy, on the road.
I saw what is a stick through the sidewall. There's nothing you're gonna do about it.
So
I don't care what kind of tire
you
have.
He can go to Hurricane or somewhere else outside of Kanab, because everybody in Kanab knows what the roads are. But they're just gravel roads. It's not like he's off-roading on these roads. He should be able to get tire warranty. Take it to Hurricane, another that doesn't know Paul.
Well, I know, but they look at the tire. I mean, I can show you pictures of the tire. They're gonna look at it. And
I never will say Brent Fulmer, Brent Fulmer, everybody gets the road hazard. It's worth whatever money we have to pay.
We have to go with one year
and get all brand new tires again.
Let's just go with a different company. That's all.
Yeah, a different company. I said.
Well, the one here in town, the Cooper tires that we were all buying for the ranch out there, had the extended warranty. They quit. They won't do it here.
Yeah, okay, so it's a local thing. So we've been talking a lot about it. So the action mode here is, did we just buy four tires?
We just bought four tires.
Okay, so this is for, this will be for next year then.
Yeah, right. Next year.
So let's move on.
Well, the tires, I don't know if you remember, well, this was about 6 months ago, had a blowout in the tire. They were kind of, at the time, here, hand it down that way. Had a sidewall go out, ended up getting two tires, instead of four tires, got two tires.
Yes.
And so I had two new tires, two fairly old tires, and this blowout was on one of the newer tires, and the other three were bald, you could see.
Let's move on, but I had one suggestion. Now, you still kept the tires, the old ones, that were street tires. My suggestion, maybe we should, come spring when the rain is not here, convert over to those tires all summer long, because you don't need mud and snow, and let's wear those out, and then come winter, we can put these Firestones back on.
Yeah.
At the price of $200 a piece, it's worth the transfer of rubber.
In theory.
Okay. That's basically all I got.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. Do you have, let me ask you this while we're right here, Joe. Do you have a, we're going with the cabinet report that we got from Paul, or do you have anything in particular?
I don't have anything other than what I got to get with Paul. And, I tried to get him some prices for some mattresses in Vegas, but the price of transporting them up there will kill the profit.
We have a really good connection with mattresses.
So I can't do much with prices.
So we will need at some point in time a proposal. And
how many are we talking about mattresses? 13,
I heard it one time.
Queen,
or is that? Oh no, twins. No, I need. Well, I kind of developed my own little plan. Why don't you come up with that, and then give that to Joe. Let's move on to our next committee, because we're now 10 minutes past, and it's Bob. Reservations, HOA, web development, communications.
I don't really have anything new on the cabinets and reservations, but on the HOA, I've got this.
You sent us these two documents, right?
Uh huh.
Okay.
And then I've got some new information that I picked up a week ago for the board to look at, and I sent out everything in three emails and gave everybody a hard copy. And I can't find my hard copy, so I'm still looking for that. And so I haven't had anybody respond to me with any questions.
I have one concern. I looked this over yesterday, and if you'll look at the Community Collection Program Terms of Agreement, if you have that.
I don't think I have a copy of that.
Terms of Engagement.
Okay. Retainer agreement. Well, I'll just read it to you. I read through this, and attorneys are good.
Yeah, they're good.
They cover their butts.
They do.
Excuse me. They cover their rear ends. And this F, uncollectability. If Vile Fotheringham SD LLP determines that a collection matter undertaken by us under this agreement is uncollectible, The association agrees to pay a termination of our representation on that matter, $400 plus out-of-pocket costs. Now, here's the kicker. We deem a matter uncollectible due to bankruptcy. That's okay. Yeah. Bankruptcy of the adverse party or a co-debtor. Due to foreclosure by a senior mortgage. We understand all that. Trust deed. And on these things, that's where it behooves us. As soon as they're delinquent, we don't wait 3, 2, 3, 4 years to file because all these other things then happen to these people. And then it does become uncollectible. But let me keep reading on because I have issue with, bankruptcy, adverse party, senior mortgage, trust deed, or lien holder resulting in unenforceable ability of the association's lien. We all understand that. But these other reasons they put. We may also deem a matter uncollectible for other reasons, including but not limited to a situation in which the adverse party is out of state. We have a lot of members that are out of state. The adverse party may appears to lack assets or employment sufficient to pay the amount owed. They go, oh, they don't have any assets. Well, you guys need to pay us $400. Okay? We're not doing the asset search on all these people that we turn over. The likelihood of recovery is low. Well, we don't want to spend our time, our law firm, going after this person. It's probably low.
Well, what does that mean?
What does that mean exactly?
What is low?
The debtor is a defunct company. Okay. The cost to collect will be excessive. Yeah, they don't want to spend the money because it's only $1,000 and it's not, or it's $1,000. It's not $5,000. The cost to collect will be excessive. Such determination shall be at the sole discretion of Vile Fotheringham SGLOP. I can't live with those kinds of limitations. And we have too many members, not that this happens every day, but we have a lot of members that are out of state. So what good does this do us? In the past, I'm just going on recollection now, I think it was when Barbara Button did this, I'm not sure, Dale probably can help me out. We determined way back when what our collection procedure would be, and you know, when we gave them notice they're in default, and then we gave them till the next year, or whatever those were, 2 years, which is really pushing it. All these other things could happen to them. They could file bankruptcy. They could be in a whole mess. So we're pretty lenient, and even if somebody had a heart attack, we're human. We're, you know, we want to know the situation. But if they're just like deadbeats, not going to pay us, just we bill them and they never respond, we can't get them to answer to us, then I think Barbara recorded the lien right away.
In 2 years,
and so you know how, and you've been doing that, right? Okay. Okay, so the issue here then is what do we do after we have the lien recorded and the foreclosure? And that process, is that process a terribly difficult one where you go to the court and you ask for a foreclosure, right?
Yeah, we've done that to a lawyer here in the area.
Okay, so yeah, we hired back then, as I remember Barbara, but we would say, okay, do that. And then we got our money, or people were in trouble, or they died, or something. Why do we need this guy to do those particular steps it costs us $250 to just even turn the name over to him? Okay, we don't have that cost if we do it ourselves up to that point. Maybe that attorney, I don't remember what our attorney charges. I think he just charges a fee for filing the foreclosure things, right?
I'd have to look at them, yeah.
So, but he doesn't say, oh, you're giving me a name, $250 right now. Right. And, oh, they're out of state, $400 more right now. So frankly, I don't like this.
Yeah, that's like the state. Let's keep it.
And after I read through it, like,
let's keep it in-house.
I looked over, I'm thinking, you know, you need an attorney to read this attorney paper.
Yeah.
Because there were so many things that you just...
He must be a good attorney because he covered his...
He's a very good attorney.
You know, and I'm sure he'd do
he's
a great job. Darn it.
But I would agree. I think if we get into the foreclosure, let Ed Robbins handle it on a one-on-one basis.
I get that.
But after reviewing and talking to Linda how the process is done, the individual who this is given to, a lien or any lawyer fees, should be put on the bill to them. That is not something that the ranch should be paying for.
Right.
And as in other HOAs, that's exactly how it's done. So those fees are passed on to them. Any kind of certified letter, any kind of notice of default, notice of sale, that price goes to them. Everything goes to them.
And
their price that they owe besides...
Isn't that stated in one of our documents?
Yes.
It is.
Yes, but it hasn't been done.
Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have a heart by doing that.
The
fair is fair. And we won't take it away from him. Gosh, if the husband just got a terrible accident. I mean, does everybody feel that way?
Right.
Or they've had a heart attack.
Right.
Or, you know, we're human.
And we have
and we might lose on occasionally on a situation.
Some compassion there.
I wouldn't mind losing on a compassionate thing that just went bad, no fault of their own. Would you?
No.
Do you all feel that way?
I agree.
Okay. Well, then, so I would make a motion that we do not proceed with this company and that we do keep it in-house in the traditional way. I don't know if I need a motion, but...
Just won't pursue it. Dead deal.
Thanks for... This is what we needed. We needed to ascertain and review it, and thanks for getting that to us. But, okay.
That's all I have.
Can I back up a minute? There was a check I was supposed to give to Joe.
Yes.
That...
Mm-hmm.
Should I give it to him?
Just
don't
write his name in.
I didn't have no name on it at all.
Does that include the interest?
Who?
It's for $2,500.
But there's no name on it?
No.
I changed your mind.
Joe, you need someone to go look at the truck.
They cannot cash it.
Hey, that's not a good thing. You want back to pay them?
On Monday.
Yeah, Monday. They can cash it on Monday.
You'll double it.
Yeah, you do. Bodyguard.
I've got a transfer, but this is Nancy.
Put it all on
I don't have a book with me. Check the book with me.
Okay, I just have one question for Bob before we move on, Bob. The web stuff and all, I had a little discussion with Vance, or he went back and forth a little bit about the history and why we're using... So I tried to reactivate the website, the Board Matters, opine on all you want kind of area, okay? And that's where we put Brent's stuff that he sent us. We also put it on the Facebook. I'm not sure he should have. But anyway, that's... So we have newsletters, we have the ranch website, we have the Facebook. There's a Yahoo conversation site too, right? So we have those four avenues of communicating. But if somebody puts something on, well, I think the board ought to do this on one of those. I don't feel like it mandates me to do something, although I'm going to try to check those things and be aware of it. I would encourage each board member to do that. And if it's if you feel like it's something good, I feel that people generally need some kind of communication back, sometimes if they ask specifically, but there's a specific way for them to ask us, and that's really through the web page to email the board. Okay, so these other things... unless they call me, I in the newsletter I gave them my phone number, my email address. Unless they communicate directly, they can't just put something on Facebook and if we don't address it or say thanks or something, that's just a social media thing. I just want to clear up all of this, right? So when you talk to people, hey, we want their input. We're not trying to squelch any of that, but they're for technical stuff. Make a board member of that of those assigned areas, and I put those assignment areas on the web, and then they talk to the board member, and then you determine as a board member if we need a committee, and then you get the information, and then you request time on the agenda, and then, so that's my two cents.
Yeah, either call or email directly to the board member. Yeah.
I'll send Vance an email about that, if what you've just given me, and I will get all of those website addresses and send them on to you guys also, so you all have it somewhere in your...
That'd be great. That would be
and
great.
And you'll have that then.
Yeah, and we have to put all of that in one spot on our webpage, too.
Right.
Okay. So, let's move on to Leland. Leland, you're on. Okay. Agriculture and Wildlife.
I had Linda email me the grazing permit for hunts, at least their longhorns.
Yes.
On the ranch. As of current, right now they're generating about $12,000 a year income for the ranch, $6,000 paid up front for that year, and then six after they've taken their cattle off, within 3 weeks of taking their cattle off of the ranch. And I guess they're putting them on, my understanding, they have to have BLM permits and two.
We have one section that they graze on that we pay a BLM permit process for that, but for the most part, they're on the ranch property.
But do they apply, or do we apply?
We do that.
So you know how which areas we have to apply for, so we maintain our leases.
It's just Deer Springs Point. That's the only one we have right now that they've.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was a whole 22,000
allotted.
Let's ask Dale. He's an expert on this. Dale, you kind of have a feel for the BLM, the other areas that we lease. What things should we be concerned about or doing for sure to maintain this?
Well, there's two or three items. Number one, the grazing permit is on the old 22,000 acres. It is not just on Deer Spring Point. So when they're in between Broad Hollow or Meadow, that's still BLM and part of this. There's an interesting thing I think I sent you on it. The county is very much involved now in the Grand Staircase because they're still trying to cut permits. But recently they have talked about allowing activation of all the permits. Deer Springs has 1,200 AUMs.
What's an
AUM? Only 550 of them or so have been active for the last 20 years.
So what does that acronym stand for, AUM?
Animal Unit Months.
Okay.
Usually a cow and a calf is one AUM. And we have 500. So that means you can put 100 cows for 5 months as an AUM. But when we bought the ranch, there was 1,200. And they've cut back. But the argument that they're going through right now on these county committees is to try and get those activated. So that might be a interesting new arrangement for Deer Springs. But I think for Linda or somebody to make sure the permit is filled out every year and the hunt report goes in every year to keep the BLM happy. Mm-hmm.
When I got that information for you, thank you, Dale. I read through it and I just brought it with me because I just got it 2 or 3 days ago. And I gave Leland a copy of that, and I encouraged him to ask for your help to have a committee on the grazing rights. And so I would encourage Linda, Dale, Leland, and anybody else that should be.
Dirk could be good for that committee too.
Dirk, would be helpful on that committee to. Just to make sure that we do what you're talking about doing. So is that do the three of you at this point feel good about being on that committee? Okay, that'd be great.
Would Paul not be on that committee too?
Well, I think, I think Paul should be. So he needs to know that. So,
almost the whole committee, he needs to know.
Yeah. So, but that in particular. So you had a few questions, that you wrote out on that information that you sent me. I gave him a copy. Now, I had Jody's copied that. She'll send a copy to all of us. Okay, to read through that. But this was their open meeting, right, Dale, where they talked about this stuff. And they had Dale Clarkson there, which should have been Dale Spencer a number of times. But he noted that. So we behove all of us to read that. But then your farm and land, so if you can make sure we're on top of that, Leland, and work with Dale and get this so we don't lose out.
There was a question about Shauna sending up a questionnaire last year.
Oh, yeah, Dale asked the question. Who did answer this survey? You know, in your little stick them on my...
Scott, that was a curiosity because that was very important.
We think, that to the recollection of, like, Jody and Linda, they think, and Candy and...
Shauna said we're not sure.
Do we need to know that? Should we ask them to know that?
No, I'm just concerned that we don't let some of these things fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
What Shauna had done, and she also was supposed to have gone to Doug Funt and asked for information from him for the grazing. At one of the meetings, the question was asked of Shauna, is this something that you have done? And she said, yes, I have done it. Now, the board, Art was there. The only thing is, we never got a copy of what she submitted, so it might not be a bad idea to ask Shauna what she did submit, because she did say it was done and it's over. So it had been completed.
Yeah. So Leland, we'll just let you pursue that as you best. Okay. Back to you then.
They as of right now, they have the right to put anywhere from 50 to 200 head on the ranch during the grazing period, and they are responsible to keep their cows on the ranch. And I guess we're responsible to provide water in areas where there isn't water, according to the lease.
And there's one area that you know, every year we end up hauling water to. That's out on the Deer Spring Point area. Larry Clarkson did some work a couple years ago on some ditching, and there's a reservoir out there that when we get some floodwaters, it hasn't been full in 5 years, but last year it filled up for the first time since I've been there. And this year it's full again, and there's water there probably enough to get through to next year. But that little channel, I think, needs to be dug out every year, just so when if we do get the rain, it fills it up. That keeps me from having to send water out there.
Just so you know, not my fenced lot, 4058, but 44 that goes over the top of the hill and down would be accessible to those cows. And we do see some traveling around there. I created... you know, this pasture area planted this year, and the drainage goes into a pond. It's not a big pond. It's probably a little bigger than this room. But whenever it rains, it holds water and keeps water there for wildlife. And so if you're ever asked, cows in that kind of area, Dan Word, me, there's water there.
Other than that, I've been reading through the lease, they're to work with us on reseeding efforts with their cattle, but it says they're not held to that. In other words, if we reseeded an area, they could still turn their cows in on that. I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't agree with that either.
Because if we spent $4,500 on seed and turn the cows in,
yeah,
it destroyed it. I mean, you won't destroy it all, but it'll...
The well field, you know, we planted it, last year when we came back in July, we planted it. I think we spent almost $4,000 on the well field. And that fall, they brought their cows in. It was kind of a big, you know, we need to keep them on for 2 years at least. But, you know, they tended to disagree a little bit.
Maybe that's something we need to talk to them about.
Yeah, and I'm working with them. I mean, I'm really good friends with all of them, and you know, I did. They did come into the well field. It was only for a couple of weeks until we moved them around. I work with them pretty good on a lot of that.
And Brad Hunt is now a member. He bought a piece of property there. Okay. He's got 149, I think. So that helps too.
Now, is that lease strictly cows?
Says Longhorns on.
When does it expire?
2021.
I'm not trying to keep the Hunt's horses from running grazing, but you know, there comes a point in time where you have to draw a line. Okay, you know, now there's I think six horses there.
It's cattle.
Okay, and they graze year round. And you know, I'm really good friends with them. I don't And I'm just
when you say there, where do you mean there?
Around the ranch, on the lower half of the ranch.
Okay.
You know, as the manager of the ranch, I'm really good friends with them, and I'm trying to manage the ranch. I don't know what the contract, how it states, cattle or horses. They've kind of, you know, they use those horses to maintain
to manage the cattle.
I kind of want to get a little bit of board response on, you know.
Well, that's six horses can cost a lot to feed for a year.
Yeah.
So there might be an opportunity if, want to graze them out there.
As they're becoming lot owners now, are they going to graze them year-round? Are they allowed to graze them? They've kind of been allowed.
They're not
this
in
those
rules and regs.
It just says Longhorn.
Yeah.
But it's not a member. We're talking about.
But as a member, there's no more horse,
right.
You know, horse out there.
But you know, there's a
officially.
There's a point where how do you?
Yeah, there's a practicality issue.
Is there a value to the ranch for them grazing their horses year round?
Is that an extra part of the lease?
I think it could be even more of a issue if we instigate horse rides.
Well, they are going to do horse rides.
Right. But yeah. Make sure you, that's another issue. I'd like to put that on the agenda
right.
in January. We need to have, for liability reasons, they need to have a wrangler's license to that. We need to have an agreement on what they will charge members and if the ranch is going to participate or get anything out of that or not, where they can take these rides and how they will be communicated to their members. So it can't just be, oh, we're going to just do them, and they just do it out of.
So they have a rough draft written up, but they didn't. They asked me yesterday what to do with it, and I told them to email it to Linda.
Okay, well, email it to Leland.
To Leland.
And no art, activities.
Yeah, activities.
I keep forgetting. I love art.
So
all right, Art.
If we, if I can get a consensus of what the board feels, the difference between a lot owner and their animals grazing, and the lease, which doesn't state any horses.
I think we should consider that and have that on our next agenda.
Think about it.
We'll work on that.
But there was another point that was brought up at the previous meeting, and that was what is the responsibility of getting the corrals and the areas where they shoot the cattle in to have them branded? Paul was putting a lot of time and effort, ranch money into it, and one of the questions was, through the lease, weren't there some areas of responsibility by the Hunts to provide monies, time, whatever it took to get them up to spec? Because
if it's a grazing lease, it's for grazing. If it's for docking, I mean, medication, taking care of the cows, then I feel, unless it, we said we'd do it, then I think that's their responsibility.
Use of our corrals.
Because see, that was the question before. Who's responsible money-wise for getting this product? And so far, they have not, from what I understand, Paul has been doing it. His time, ranch money, wood, etc.
They also put their time in.
They put a lot of time.
They put a lot.
But the question is, there's not just time, it's also the money.
Well, we should clarify that and add an addendum to our lease with them.
And that was the other thing we
looked
at.
So it's fair, and we don't mind participating to a degree, but I think that's their cow's health.
Well, and even if we had, when we got here, just not in the sense of the hunt. I mean, it's not of doing or the money that gets spent on those things. But when we came here, there was cattle here. Those corrals wouldn't hold anything. They were a danger to anything that went in there. They were horrible.
You know,
we have pictures of.
Oh yeah.
We rebuilt the infrastructure that is so called the ranch.
So if we rebuild it, we want some help maintaining it if they intend to use it.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's table that and move on.
I just wonder if in the original lease, were they non or verbally maybe stated that they could use our corrals and stuff? I don't know.
Basically, it was just kind of a run of the ranch. That's association property. It's not a grazing, but they're using. You know, I think there should be a little bit more added.
And
a little more clarification.
Right.
And our attitude is we're grateful to make the money. Mm-hmm. People love seeing them. We want to help push along the good thing that it is.
Well, and just know, I'm
good
not,
fences make good neighbors, so right. We just need to
discuss. I'm discussing, and this is going to be an unpopular discussion
with them.
I'm friends with them, but I still, at the end of the day, I have to manage the ranch. And I have to manage the assets of the ranch and oversee the association properties.
Okay, well, we'll come up with some help for you and organize that.
Okay.
And for clarification, that is the lease.
Okay.
There is some other way before.
Could you email me a copy of that, please?
I think Jody.
Jody's got it?
Okay. She'll send it out to all of us. Okay. Anything else?
We'd like a copy too, Jody. Okay.
Art, 2 minutes?
Yes. Art?
Actually, I'm going to cut down to 1 minute, because I'll get with Robert with one of the issues. Over in Donnie Brown is a cattle guard there that was damaged by Tony, one of our previous managers, with the grader. He was grading in there, and he damaged it. It's getting bad enough where we're going to end up putting a new cattle guard in if we don't fix it. And, you know, $300 or $400 to fix it versus $4,000 replacement.
Is that the one on the Brinker Hop
property? But we damaged it. It's our responsibility. We damaged it with the grader. And that was, like I said, six years ago, Tony was here?
Tony and his little... wife and little child.
Has something changed since then? I mean, because I've driven over that.
Well, it's going to go.
Can you assess that for us, Paul? And I don't know, who'd you get back to? Is it on a road?
Yeah,
it's a road guy.
So get back to Robert, and then we need to make arrangements if we feel it.
I'll get with him with the other issues I have. But that one needs, we should fix it to get it, if for no other reason, so we don't have to replace it at some point.
Sounds reasonable. Okay.
That's all I got.
Speaking of the grader, have you used it since we welded it?
Yeah.
It didn't break yet?
No.
Warranty's over.
It's been 30 days.
Okay.
No flat tires?
Yeah. No.
All right, well.
Don't say that.
Well, I would like to commend you all for getting through this meeting, getting a lot accomplished, and it's been nice having some of our members here and hearing from a few of them, and hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
can I just mention something? You know, there's the issue of the ranch truck and the ranch tires. If anybody could help me out with it, I would love. You know, I run the tires until they're bald.
Joe's your man.
So, like, if I could, you know, I want the board and the membership to know, like, I try and be as frugal as I can. And
no, I know. All I was saying is, if we can
get going up that Sandy Point Mountain,
if we can get road hazards throughout of St. George, then I think we're going to run to St. George.
I think we should try it.
Take them down and drop them off and bring them back.
There's the same issue a year ago about getting tires, and a couple of years ago there was another issue.
Yeah, let's get a result.
I mean, you guys know the roads that I drive on. You have to understand the amount of.
You're good.
Okay.
You're good. No problem.
Before you start,
go ahead. You got one thing you want to add?
Yeah, real quick, I wanted to say, and I know Vance isn't on, but much thanks to Vance and Linda and Paul and Nancy, putting the newsletter together and getting it ready. So I think it turned out really a good job with pictures, etc. So thank you.
There's one thing we did not cover on the agenda. We talked about the budget for 2015, but we did not talk about the dues amount to be billed. So I take it was a given or understood that we would have the same amount for the dues this year. Did everybody understand that?
No, I was talking to him.
Sorry.
I won't agree with that.
Okay. We have a certain amount that we've been charging for dues year to year.
Ask the ranch manager how much more they're paying for stuff right now.
And we okayed the budget, and we based the budget on the amount of dues we have been charging, and we had some conversation about trying to do this, so we wouldn't raise the budget. I mean the dues. So I need to make it official. I'd like to. I think we understand that, but I would make a motion that we don't increase or decrease the
the dues from last year, we keep the same dues amount.
I'll second that.
Jody seconds it. Is there any... I should have asked for any discussion on the matter first. I didn't. So does anybody want to discuss that matter?
I think that we have a certain amount of inflation every year, and every year is getting worse.
We're trying to get tighter and tighter, huh?
And some of your rules and regulations I'd like to get with you on as well.
Okay.
I mean, we have a fixed budget right now, and every year it's going down. Every single year the budget's going down. And it affects the ranch manager, it affects the roads, it affects the ponds,
I agree.
It affects everything. We've got to get real with the amount of money we're charging. I would suggest to do a 5% raise every year until we get to the point where we're not stealing from somewhere to pay somebody else. I don't want to make a profit because we could probably save 20 grand right up front, you know, with or 10 grand right up front with the taxes, if we do our taxes right.
Yes.
So I just don't think it's we lose money.
Overall, I have the same feeling that part of the deterioration that we have here and there once in a while is we're underfunded, and yet we have members that have a hard time paying their dues, and there are a lot of us that don't have that hard a time. So I applaud Jody's efforts. But I agree with Art that there comes a time when we can't be afraid to raise the dues. And I would encourage us all this year to really look at and watch what happens and look at where we need things and approach it next year with not the fact that we're going to raise it or have Jody not sweat over trying to balance it, but I agree with Art's premise that we shouldn't be afraid if we need to. It's reasonable. We all have to spend more money on food and
gasoline
and insurance and everything. The dues are going to show some reflection on the cost of living, and we have to accept the fact that we may have to raise it and not be afraid to do that for the sake of maintaining what we want, our dream of the ranch. And I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And that, I can see where the possibility should be included. In 2010 was the last time that there were any dues increased. We've been talking and thinking about it as well. You increase the dues and then it's constantly that amount of money more that each person pays. But I don't know if it's enough to do what we need to go in and get updated. So some feelings from some members also was to do a one-time assessment. That one-time assessment, let's say it's $100 for every lot. You realize how much money you could have, and then I can go out and buy the mattresses. I can go out and get the tires we need. We can go. Now, that amount of money isn't being taken out of the budget for different things that we need. So therefore, update it. You've got the stuff you need, and then the budget could be working for another 10 years because you don't need those kinds of things.
That's a good thought.
So, in some senses, this is what a number of people have been talking to me about, doing a special assessment, which we have not done except back in 1980 or something. But one-time assessment, that would still leave your dues the same. You have bought the items that you need, and therefore your budget works again because you don't have to take more out of it. Mm-hmm. And I just threw out the number of $100. But that could help cabin maintenance, roads, do those roads, get those mattresses. And yeah, it could be spread out, and we could do what we need to do if it were an amount of that.
So in your committee, as you formulate the needs, you know, like you take inventory, that's, I like both ideas, and I think that has a lot of good common sense to it. So
we just can't be blind with our budgets getting, you know, smaller, even though it looks like we have the same amount of money. We don't.
We don't have the same amount of money, we just have higher costs now.
Inflation is
But I'd like to also put in that bucket as the pay for play. I think we really need to evaluate that this year and see what that can bring us, because clearly the cabins are not paying for themselves.
Would anybody like to serve on that committee with Joe? It's mostly pertaining to the cabins that Brent brought this up. But I think just like I brought up in the rules and regs about the water hauling,
yes.
So far on that committee, we got Brent as a regular member, Joe as the board member representative. Would anybody else like to be on? Jody would like to be on there with Joe. Anybody else?
I'd like to be on.
Okay.
So if I could recommend something, the first of the year is coming up. If I could put a water meter on cabin 8 and a gas meter, I already have the water meter, but if I could have the water meter and the gas meter installed by the first of the year, would that be acceptable?
That would give us a good
one
feel
cabin. We talked about 7 and 8.
So we have a feel for what the cost are.
We got to start somewhere.
We got to start somewhere. I agree.
If you're doing pay for play committee, I want to be on it.
Okay then, add secretary, add that. Well, that's why we need both sides.
I don't know if you call it a pay for play committee, but or is it just to figure out ways to increase finance us, or is this a
play? It's like because we have two factions. We have people that have their own cabin and their own stuff, and then we have people that are, the majority are using the cabins, you know. And so we need to represent as a board everybody, because we have these two different issues. So I don't think we're going to be able to go all one way or the other. We need to do some compromising here. So I don't know, pay for play or usage costs committee, maybe.
There you go.
Usage costs. It doesn't have a negative connotation to it. Does that sound better?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you could break that down under cabins. You could break that into water hauling.
On the committee, we're having a yes and a no. We need to, both sides need to come up with ideas to take place of the money, because that's not going away.
Right.
There's got to be a solution to the problem. If we decide not to charge usage fees for water, there's got to be some place that picks up the dollar.
Right, because there's a cost.
So I don't want somebody just saying no or yes until they think about it. We have to come up with an answer.
That's why I want a good representation of pros and cons on a committee and board members to then come to the board after you've hashed it out. And so, see, in December we don't have a board meeting. That'd be an excellent time for maybe your committee or all along to meet or to get organized. Candy has a list of those that wanted to participate. That's another question, real quick. If we wanted to put it out to this committee or that committee, to the ranch membership, can we not send a ranch email? Okay, I think we should do that. And did you read Brent's comments? You know, we're forming a committee. If you want to be a voice or a part of this, whoever the representative is, contact him, blah, blah, blah.
That would be a good idea. On this particular issue, I think it would be smart to develop a, here's what we're trying to do, and then send the email
and then
out
send
to everybody
very
else.
Good.
So that
very good.
Otherwise, there are too many people.
Oh, that is, yeah.
You can't get 20 people on a committee.
Yeah, with misconceptions of what.
Okay, and remember, a committee's not a voting part of the ranch. It's a committee.
There's still an uprising.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to start putting questions. Okay, now we're going to have a closed session after this meeting. But what?
Questions on the table. He said, can he get the go-ahead for cabin 8 to put the water and the gas meter on now?
Can we?
Approximately $400.
And I think that money could come out of this year's money. That
and
we
I can we right? can have it billed to the first.
No, let's use some of the money in this year's. We've got the budget set for the ranch already. So.
Have they filled up the propane yet for the winter?
Yeah.
They did.
They can't do it the trip anyways.
No, I know. But
do we need a motion on those?
Yes.
On those meters? I'll make a motion to put the meters in on cabin.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. It's been approved.
Who made the motion? Joe and then Lee.
You also need to announce the next meeting before you close.
Announce
meeting,
it. Yes, I wanted. I'm so glad you said that. I wanted to. So our tentative schedule is for our next meeting to be when in January.
January
10th at Candy and Jose and Joe at Jose's house.
It'll be one in December.
Is that right? Is that good?
In Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas at what time?
Ten something.
Ten. Okay, and we'll put the. address up on the website.
That's a Lost Wages, Nevada.
10 o'clock.
Lost Wages, Nevada.
And then the meeting in February. The meeting in February, I think, is to be a...
Might be a workshop committee.
Oh, we're not holding a meeting in February?
March.
No, okay, it was March,
March.
Sorry.
Yes.
So, yes, I wanted to mention that, the water committee. We have people waiting for that. We need to get that resolved. Mm-hmm. So, challenge to the water committee to do, get that done by the end of February. Huh? Okay. And then March, the meeting will be at my house in St. George. We'll get to the information, and it can start at 10 to, I guess, 10 o'clock.
This was all in the newsletter, and I also included in your executive committee meeting.
Okay.
That just needs to be on the agenda at the end of the agenda.
Okay. The Vegas time is an hour's difference also.
Ooh. So you get an extra hour.
Oh, and with that information, if you're planning to come to Las Vegas, I've checked with a hotel that's near the house. It's within, what, 3 miles?
Yeah, 3 miles.
Right on the way. It's called the Santa Fe, and rooms are like $29 a night. It's really good because it has all a lot of food places, nice restaurants, bowling, movie theater. It's got everything in it, and it's right off the freeway to go to our house. If you're interested, I can look and see anybody that wants to come. I can see if they can give us a... group rates, but it is $29 a night.
I would like, that's another little matter of business. I would like to authorize this expenditure for Paul, Nancy, and Linda to pay for that night, the Friday night.
And gas to get there.
Gas and room for those two that we require to be there.
Thank you.
Do I have a feeling of a favor? All in favor?
Second.
Yep. Second. All in favor. So I made the motion. He seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Very good. All right, then, seeing that we've discussed our agenda, we will adjourn our board meeting. Thank you all for your attendance, and the board members will remain for a brief. Yeah, we'll take a 10-minute break, and then we'll...